Washington, D.C. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. Nothing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
The Dynamite Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes, of course. Steve.
Lexington.
Lexington, Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
I was just talking about that. We are on, what kind of a mixed up station is this? Lexington 70 station, Magic.
1380.
WMJR, baby.
There you go.
Out in bluegrass country.
There you go. You know where that old Billy Ray's from? And his daddy, it's his daddy, Cletus.
Oh, no, I thought he said in the tape it's his brother.
No, it's his daddy.
His daddy's name is Cletus?
His daddy.
Daddy. Daddy!
He said, hello, daddy. That's what he was talking about.
I think everybody on the show, Dallas, did. Even though they're all grown up, they also called their dads daddy.
That's right, daddy.
My daddy. Hey,
daddy.
How you doing, daddy? Daddy, you passed the jelly? And a Mr. Clean.
We're taking a collection to try to get him some new blue jeans.
Thank you, my friend.
To help him out.
Thank you.
I know he needs some money. And we're going to try to get that haircut, too.
Yeah, it blows my mind that people in Kentucky are exposed to our show. That's got to be like culture shock for you, right?
Well, you know, we wear shoes now.
Wow. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Foolish of us to ignore that fact.
We'll send you some headache powder.
Goodies.
I'd like to get some of that to give away.
Some headache powder. Yeah. You want some headache powder, because who needs to swallow something when you have a headache?
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
This is Ann calling from Clemson.
Hi, Ann.
Somebody gave you the wrong information.
About what?
Jeff Gordon.
He is a wuss.
He is not a good-looking man.
Oh, boy, we got another Jeff Gordon hater. Look, you have tapped into that.
Even women hate Jeff Gordon.
Oh, he's just a little tweeb.
Now, why do you hate him so much? And really explain why.
I just don't like the way he came into NASCAR thinking he was Mr. It.
Well, the way he drives cars, isn't he Mr. It?
No.
I mean, he's been very successful.
Doesn't he win, like, all the races?
Not all.
Doesn't he win a lot of the races?
His part for being new, I guess. I just don't like his personality and the way he holds.
Why do people hate him so much?
I think I can tap into it. I think down there where they have the headache powder, they don't dig these people coming in and being new. They fear change.
Well, maybe.
And you got Kyle.
All I know is
Teddy.
Glad that they got a pretty man on there.
No, Terry Labonte's the pretty man.
Terry Labonte? Who's that?
I mean, Terry Labonte, he almost won the Daytona 500. Mm-hmm. He was crawling right up there on Dale Earnhardt's buttock.
What's his car? You got to tell me what his car is.
Kellogg's?
Uh-huh. That's a cool car. That's a cornflakes
cool car.
Right. Yeah,
it's
like
the green car, isn't it? Isn't Terry Labonte, he was driving the green car in the Daytona 500.
No, the cornflakes car is white.
No, it's yellow.
It has the big rooster on it.
I remember. Now, hold on a second there. I was watching Daytona, and I could have sworn that Terry Labonte was driving a green car, and they were talking about him and Jeff Gordon coming up on Dale Earnhardt.
And Jeff Gordon's got, like, a car that's all kinds of colors.
Yeah, pretty colors. Like
looks like Skittles.
Yeah,
there you go.
Car.
Like Skittles, yes.
He's got a pretty car, but so does Ricky Rudd, the Tide.
Ricky Rudd.
Let's all just take a second and think how little I really care about NASCAR. All right? Hello, Donna. Mike, I'm one of those guys, I watch it if someone crashes.
I like it when there's short races, like, and really for a NASCAR, a short little sprint, like 25 laps, then it's fun to watch because there's a lot that happens. But other than that, it's like, roundy.
I'm not a diehard fan, but I do watch when they crash. Yeah, if I'm flipping by and they got the caution flag out, I stay there.
And you're a lucky viewer, so you tend to catch those.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's the magic that he has. It's that gift. It's the same reason he watches the LA TV stations and sees the chase immediately when it's happening live.
And I'm so upset when I miss something good. You know what I have to do? I take my headache powder. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
A couple reasons why the fans hate Jeff Gordon is back in the 80s, everybody hated Dale Earnhardt because he won a lot.
But he wasn't. Dale Earnhardt wasn't nearly as pretty as Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, that's right. But Jeff Gordon has done a lot for the sport. But more importantly, the fans don't feel as close to Jeff Gordon as they do the good old boys, who you can get up close to and talk with.
I don't know anything about NASCAR, but I'm positive that those. Even the old-time boys, they're no friend of the fans. Hey, between Dale Earnhardt...
That's the one thing about the sport that a lot of people don't understand is that those drivers are very accessible and they understand.
I bet.
Hey, between Dale Earnhardt...
By God, you are living in a fantasy world.
I've been on the inside, I know. I'm speaking the truth.
Yeah. Really?
Yes,
who was the race car driver who brought you into his inner circle?
Well, I did public relations for a team on the Busch North series.
You worked for the guy, Busch.
Nice,
Busch.
Between Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt, who do you think takes more headache powder?
Dale Earnhardt.
Dale. Sure. Oh, yeah, he's been around a lot longer. He probably had more aches and pains.
Don Mike.
Hey, Don, it's Sherry.
Hello, Sherry.
The reason you have the powder form is because you put it in your mouth, on your tongue, and it goes immediately to your bloodstream.
That's it.
Versus a tablet.
A tablet, which, how long does a tablet take to sit? Your stomach is full of acid that as soon as it hits your stomach will disintegrate.
Well, first of all, I think we should call it what it is. We should call it a pill, not a tablet. It's a pill. And you have to swallow a pill when powder simply goes on your tongue and gets into your bloodstream. Quick, that's why goodies is better than any kind of, pill.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Fine.
Good to talk to you. Hey, listen, you guys are talking about Gordon and Earnhardt. The guy you really need to talk about in NASCAR is Dick Trickle.
Right. I already mentioned Dick Trickle.
I already mentioned it. He's a big joke on ESPN. They goof on him all the time.
Dick Trickle. I mean, how can you argue with a name like that? Dick Trickle.
Just because they like saying his name.
Sure.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, yeah, I'd just like to say that I think Jeff Gordon's very dreamy with his big one eyebrow.
You know something? I believe we have... at least indicated right now the popularity
for him.
Of NASCAR. So people really are, there are a lot of people that are into NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to the beach at the right place, you could see more doofuses wearing NASCAR clothes than you see doofuses wearing, like, football clothes or basketball jerseys.
There's a whole place out near where I live where you can get all sorts of NASCAR supplies.
I'm not surprised. Hello?
You can get garbage bags.
Is that on your street?
No, it's not on my street, but thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
If you want to buy Goody's powder, you can buy Goody's powder anywhere. CVS Pharmacy right there in Northern Virginia.
I think we ought to buy a bushel of it.
Okay, all right. Well, I know this should buy some goddamn commercials after I talked about it so much today.
We can give away Goody's headache powder and have people put peanuts in their Coke.
That stuff's great, actually, because it's full of caffeine. And it works in five...
Oh, my God, she's had a stroke.
It works in 5-1. Hello.
Overdose.
Imagine that.
Hello.
It's so powerful. I take it every day, and we...
Yeah.
All right. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, I'd like to lend my theory of the hatred for Jeff Gordon.
Now, listen, the more... I've got a theory on this. The more we talk about NASCAR, the more our ratings will go down. I think we've talked about NASCAR enough. I think we've isolated everybody hates Jeff Gordon.
I have good insight here. I'm not even a NASCAR fan.
You think that's true even in Greenville?
Mike, I got to think about the greater good.
I get you.
I got to think about all the northern stations, all the western stations.
Yeah.
Stations in the heartland.
Yeah, you're right about that. They don't have a lot of NASCAR there, but Greenville will do well.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. You have the last word on this subject.
Last word is that people of the redneck genre do not like anybody that looks like a preppy. They don't identify with it. They think back to the high school days. There were preppies, there were rednecks, and they don't mix.
All right, I believe that perhaps you really have hit the nail on the head.
I think that might be accurate.
Thank you.
No problem.
Excuse me, that would be accurate.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hang up now. Come on, hang up now.
Wow. But you like to watch the NASCAR, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Mainly the crashes.
Yeah.
Turns me on. Hello. I like that movie where those people just drove around looking for car crashes and then they had like crazy sex.
Crash.
That was the name of the movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
I saw it.
Is that worth watching?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird, man. But like they crashed the car themselves then.
Really?
They can't get enough of watching other people. They set up crashes and after that they actually like run into people on purpose. And then when they're like he's pulling her out of the car and she's all bloody and stuff and he just starts going at her like that.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a Jeff Gordon fan. And I thought one of us had to weigh in at some point.
I thought we might have an auto Annie on there.
Yeah. You thinking about his nice stick shift?
He's a really good-looking guy, and the women love him, and
yeah.
He wins all the races, and he's got a lot of money. I mean, what's not to love? And I think his wife is a dog, you know.
All right. Well, meow, meow, and thank you.
Bye.
Right, yeah, goodbye. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Buzz, I think you're the Jeff Gordon of this show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
You're the prettiest on this show. There's no doubt about that.
And the most hated in the South.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, Donna Mike's show.
Yes, this is changing the subject a little bit. I'm a first-time caller.
Yeah.
And checking to see, during your trip to intercourse, you were talking about what your spouse looked like, which celebrity. And I was checking to see, I can't decide what my wife, who my wife looks like. And
why'd you send us some pictures, then?
Yeah, I wanted to send in a picture and see if you guys could tell me.
Send us nudes, though.
Yes, from the waist up, at least.
Okay.
Topless.
Okay.
And if possible, in the kitchen. Do you have a refrigerator?
Well, I do have a refrigerator.
Get her to do something with the ice cubes.
Excellent.
Well, I've got some other interesting food items in here. We'll have to talk her into it.
Yeah, sure. Take some pictures and send them in, and we would be glad to. We will rate her on a 1 to 10 numerical scale.
We'll do it for you as a public service.
On a 1 to 10, huh?
Yeah.
We've got some pasta salad in here. That could be interesting.
Oh. Well, don't mess it up too much. Simply the ice cubes would suffice.
Okay.
Okay?
Great, thanks.
All right, send us the picture.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no need for that pasta salad. Remember, you're going for a good grade.
Bye-bye.
Smashing baby.
The basketball game that my team played this weekend, the kids, we got killed.
Oh, really?
We lost by 29 points.
And how was your ultimate rival coach? How did he behave?
He was cool.
Good.
He was under control, but make no bones about it.
He was happy.
He loved the fact that they kicked our ass. And we played as hard as we could. If we didn't play hard, he would have beaten us by 50 or 60 points.
Wow. What was the final score?
It was 50-something to 36. It was like 55 to 36.
And you guys were giving it your all.
We tried. We really tried.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
I said to Broyhill at one point, when we were losing by almost 40,
right?
We had cut the margin then. We were losing by 40, and I'm just standing there watching this happen. I said to Broyhill, what is the reason for this?
Yeah.
You know,
what's the point?
What am I supposed to learn from this? This sucks. Losing sucks.
Do you think that there is an outside chance now that every time he sees you, he will give you advice?
He wanted to yesterday when I saw him at our neighbor's 50th birthday party.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
So I had to, you know, I had to chill out. I had to move across the room so I wouldn't have to talk to him. Because he was very into it. And hey, listen, the playoffs start next week, and everybody's even in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens.
It's the second season.
Yeah, and I'm still proud of all my guys.
Good.
Even though Victor was an hour late for the game.
Oh, right. Dear.
That means we had to start with Spencer and Andrew and Alex and Ahmad and we started with four.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was crazy. So we got killed. We lost by 29.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah. That's okay.
I know last year you had such a great rookie season as a coach.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
The record that I have this year is the opposite of the record I had last year.
But going into the playoffs...
Last year I was like 9-1, and this year we're 1-9.
1-9, and anything could happen. When do the playoffs begin?
This weekend.
Oh, my.
This Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the update there, but I'm proud of all my guys. They did a great job. Then Saturday night, we had the church gala. I talked about that a little bit, about what the reverend's wife was wearing and the fact that they played Welcome to My Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one real embarrassing moment I wanted to share with you. There's a cigar store that I go to over by where you live, Buzz.
Right.
It's in one of those new strip shopping centers.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go into this cigar shop, there's this old kook behind the counter who insists on telling me his whole life.
Right.
He's one of these guys, you walk into the cigar store, and I know normally the brands that I'm looking for,
yeah.
But he's got to come in there, and he's got to talk to you while you're looking.
Oh, boy.
And he's one of these guys, the last time I went in, it was last week, he was telling me about, yeah, I got to get a new refrigerator. And listen, here's what's made it interesting. He would say, like, goddamn all the time.
Ah. Right.
Do you know anything about goddamn refrigerators?
I said, no, I sure don't.
I got to pay $470 for a goddamn refrigerator. I paid $1,100 for the goddamn thing.
Is he smoking a cigar while he's standing there?
Yeah. And as I'm walking out of the store, he says, you ever been married? I said, I'm married now.
Yeah.
How long? I said, 16 years. He said, you got a lot of heartbreak in front of you.
Oh, my God.
One of these guys, real sour on life, right?
Wow.
So we get to this church fundraiser on Saturday night, and Frida and I walk through the door, and Frida's seen this guy in the cigar shop. Right. I said, that's the old coot
from the cigar store. I said, that's wild that the guy from the cigar store goes to our church.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking across. It's a big crowded room with 100 people.
Right.
We sat down at the table, and I'm saying to everybody at my table, who's the guy over there with the gray hair? That guy, he's got like a mouth on him. I said, he says, God damn, all the time.
He's got a lot of heartbreak in front of you.
Right. So they say to me, go find him and stand behind him and discreetly point at him.
Right.
And we'll tell you who it is. Mm-hmm. So I go behind this guy, and I see him, and I don't even point. I think it's the guy. I go, hey, refrigerator man. And this old distinguished guy turns around and looks at me, and he goes, he doesn't know who I am.
Right.
He goes, yes. And I swear to God, I said, how's that goddamn refrigerator doing? Now, keep in mind, I'm in church, okay?
Oh, right.
And he goes,
you got the wrong guy.
Pardon me?
Oh, no.
I said, your refrigerator. You're the guy from the cigar store. And he says, well, I do smoke cigars occasionally. Have I met you in a cigar store? And then I thought, well, he must have Alzheimer's or something, right? I thought he's just like an old guy. When I got back to the table, the reverend told me he is the boss of all the reverends.
Sure.
In the local area.
Oh, he's the bishop?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like he's like the big guy. He's
the bishop. That would be the name if he's the boss of all reverends.
Oh, the bishop loves swearing.
Well, now, I don't know if he's... What's the position below the bishop?
Priest in charge.
Deacon.
What is it?
Hello?
Hey, Marty?
Yeah?
Hey, where's Mommy?
She's right downstairs.
Oh, you tell her I need her for a second?
Okay.
Oh, there she is.
Hello.
Hey, honey?
Yes, my boo-boo.
You know that old guy that I thought was the cigar guy at the church thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's his job?
No, he's not the bishop, but he's a retired rector, very distinguished, very high up.
He's a big man.
The table was rolling with laughter while you were there talking to him.
That's your goddamn refrigerator.
He took it in stride.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's used to talking to people that, you know, aren't quite all there and that have mental problems and all kinds of other problems and can handle himself.
You agreed with me, though, right? Didn't you think it looked just like the guy from the cigar shop?
I knew he was familiar. I just forgot why.
I got one last thing to tell you that about the auction. The big thing is the auction for the parking spot right in front of the church.
How many years now have you been bidding on
this? This is the fourth year in a row I've been bidding on it.
And you've never been outbid?
No. And this year I got mad at everybody. There was a brief awkward moment when...
They're jacking it up on you?
Yeah, well, the bidding started kind of low.
Right.
And I...
No, he wasn't mad because they were jacking it up. He was mad because it was low and wasting his time. And I tell him before this, I say, please don't embarrass me. Please, please.
Listen, how do I embarrass you? Listen, I'll tell you right out front. Last year I paid $1,000, and this is money that goes to the church.
Right.
You make a donation to the church, and you get a parking spot right by the front door. So you can arrive at a minute until 9, and you always got a parking spot.
Now, if you started out lower, and you played the game, is there any chance that you get the parking space for a bargain?
No, because listen, the reverend and the church... They count on the money.
Right.
It's like, I know it's in the budget that they know they're going to get $1,000 from me. So they stand it up there and he goes, we'll start the bidding at $100.
And plus, you make it no secret, you walk around saying, I will not be outbid. So anyone who wants to help the church would bid against them.
Right. So they start off, they go, $100. And I said, oh, you're wasting my time. I don't want to sit here and like go 100, 150, 200, 250. I said, I'll pay the same I did last year.
You're a very impatient man.
$1,000. And then some guy sitting across
from... And then he yells out, and nobody else bid.
Yeah, that's why I turned to the group of people. These are my friends. I said, I bid $1,000. Now nobody else bid anything.
You didn't tell just our table. You told the whole room. Nobody else bid.
I bet it got a laugh when you did that, though, huh?
Yeah, but then some guy stood up and said... $1,100.
Somebody's working you.
Oh, yeah, you dick. I go, $1,150. And then it got up to $1,200. Uh-huh. And then there were three guys all bidding $1,200.
I shouldn't ask you this, and you might not be able to answer it, but how far would you have gone?
Mike, it's for God. I would have gone to
$1,300.
That's my limit for the big man.
And then you got the place up front. Nobody can take that. Anybody ever take that space, or is your name on it?
There's a sign there with my name on it.
The polite thing to do, what the other men do, is they put their wife's name on it. Not my guy.
No, that's my gift.
Yeah. That's your and the sign this year is kind of knocked down because you hit it with the truck.
Oh, listen, I didn't hit it with the truck.
Yeah, well, you did.
I didn't. Listen, didn't the reverend's wife say that she saw me back that truck in there and that I did not back over the sign?
Well, she has a thing for you. That's why she seated.
And it's mutual.
Got a thing for you now. This has evolved since the last time you could talk to her.
Mutual.
And right, that's why she placed herself next to you while she was wearing a low cut.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, my.
She's something. Hard to believe she's a reverend's wife. And then the only other thing that we had over the weekend was a birthday party for my neighbor Tom, who was a very nice guy, but I felt so out of place because it was like going to school. Because there was everybody at that party was a grown-up, and everybody's wearing the nice clothes, and he's got a house that's like Wayne Manor.
So it wasn't like a party. It was like when everybody has to be on their best behavior party.
No, he had a guy in there making omelets, man.
Oh, really?
He had a guy, that was his only job, some guy in a tuxedo was standing in the back, mm-hmm. And he goes, would you like an omelet?
That's what's going to be happening in our house when we have the junkies and everybody over.
Oh, forget
about
it.
You have a guy making omelets?
No, we're not having a guy making omelets.
Come on. How about I'll make omelets?
No, I don't want omelets.
You can be the guy. Wear your tux.
I'll wear my tux and I'll make omelets.
Good.
You have to wear your tux.
I will.
Wear your T-U-C-K-S.
I'll wear both of my tuxes.
Hey, honey, tell Mike how many people at church commented about tux to us.
Yeah, very discreetly, too.
I am very gratified that at some point, my chapped ass came up, during conversation with churchgoers.
It did.
That's great.
It was very popular. But it was always the behind-the-hand comment, in a very low voice.
About those tux. Understanding has chapped ass.
All right, honey, I got to go.
Goodbye.
I love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So that was it. Oh, and we come back. Let's wait till tomorrow to talk to Rudy.
Okay.
If we're going to talk to Rudy, I need my goodies headache powders.
Yes. Are you going to have anything special at your party, like anything like that? Now I'm getting all excited because I know you're having a party and I don't
know. No, my wife's going to get a party platter from Safeway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Okay. And beer. That's it.
Pony.
A pony. Let's try getting a pony.
We've got to do a break and we'll
be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It was kind of an electric feeling around here.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
It was kind of an electric feeling around here. And what they've done in the station that we work at, WJFK, they're renovating. And in the office area right outside, adjacent to our studios,
right.
They've actually spray painted on the walls.
Yeah.
Stuff like, this is trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This wall goes.
Right.
Salespeople go upstairs. They're spray painting like gangs do.
They have, yeah. and really the place is, the people who are doing the demolition really have done a good job getting all the drywall out of here. And, the spray paint's the only really ugly part of it. It kind of looks cool because we've got an open air building now. I mean, no walls, and it's, there are a few walls.
Mm-hmm. So there's this wall right when we come out of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the area that Mike retires to during commercial breaks, to play with his golf club.
Right. Yeah, and, over the years, there have been many little dents in that wall due to the fact that people will come by and hit the golf ball a little harder than they should. And the wall had a lot of nicks in it. And over the years, I've grown tired of that wall.
And we all got mad at the wall.
We all did. We all had an angry reaction to the wall.
And, I don't know. I kicked it and kicked my foot through the wall.
You did a ballet move where you went up in the air like a hi-ya, and that's after I had taken my heel and just like gone through the bottom of it. And yours was beautiful. I mean, you went You went airborne, and then
I like
came
to call
down.
That my Jackie Chan move.
Oh, it was exactly what
you're
it was.
Number one.
But no. In this case, no, I'm not. I'm number two, and yes. I know a lot of you listening think that I'm number two.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Broyhill came by. Now at this point, Mike had already kicked the wall. Here's what happened. Mike kicked the wall.
Right.
And almost broke through.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I came up and I got a running start. I went, hi-ya! Mm-hmm. Now my leg goes all the way through and there's...
And you fell.
Yeah. Well, I'm clumsy.
Well, no, I mean, that's a natural move to fall when you came down after you went through. Because you went clean through that wall.
Put your foot through drywall. Yeah, that's where we were doing the commercials about 6:30 last night.
Boy, big fun. Really, I wish they'd let us know. I wish they'd left a little bit to us to take down.
Yeah. So, well, we got our share.
Yeah, we did.
So there's a hole about about as big as Dave Butts' head.
Yeah, it's about the size of a basketball.
Or a pumpkin.
An overinflated basketball.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're just sitting out there kind of looking at our handiwork, and it's a communal area in the station, and everybody's kind of gathered around. Everybody's kind of laughing.
Ooh, look at you guys.
Hey, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charles Broyhill, our wonderful producer, came by, and at that point, he proceeded to run into the wall.
Right.
Put his shoulder in the wall.
His whole body.
And yes, he took the hole that we had started.
Didn't he throw something too? Didn't he throw a big piece of furniture at the wall too?
No, I don't think so. I think that was simply his body crashing through the drywall.
Maybe he weren't there when he did. He picked up kind of a piece of table
and threw it at the wall.
I did not see that.
But that did not do the kind of damage that, you know, his body did.
So now,
right.
When you walk by the window here and you look at the wall, like I say, right adjacent to the studio,
right.
It looks like, you know, in a movie, when a guy's running and a guy runs through a wall, and it leaves the outline of his body.
Sure. The lucky thing was that there weren't any metal studs. You know, it's got that steel studded thing. And if somebody hit one of those, it could have been very painful.
Fortunately, we know that this building is mainly made of wet cardboard. So there was
it's great.
There was no problem. But there was a real a real electricity in the building yesterday.
Well, I know why. You know whose office that used to be?
Ken Stevens.
That was Ken Stevens' office that we were all punching our way through.
And everybody loves the chance to try to make a big hole in Ken's office.
And then, of course, the parade of sales guys coming downstairs to kind of go, oh, wow.
Yeah, like we're going to get in trouble.
What do you guys do? You know, we've had the entire building leveled.
It's gutted. Everything out there is gutted.
And it's one, like, 2x4 section of drywall where they're going, oh, where do they find it? It's like, yo, idiot, whole building has been remodeled.
Nobody cares.
No, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I mean, it's not proud. They're not proud. They're not calling the newspapers.
Right.
You know, to tell them that we made like a 6-foot-high hole in a wall.
I think you put it right when you said letting go of a little bit of steam is what happened.
Yeah, letting it go with the man. Like when people used to throw bricks at TVs when Howard Cosell was on Monday Night Football.
Sure.
You let it out of your system.
Makes you feel good afterwards.
Listen, we have a big treat today for a staffer, Big Gum Jim.
BG's birthday is today.
It's his birthday today. He thinks he looks something like Nicolas Cage.
Who is the other celebrity that he thinks he looks like? I thought there was another one that he said he looked similar to. There was somebody in it.
It'll come to you.
Equally not realistic.
He doesn't look like Nicolas Cage at all.
Not a bit.
But he's a good guy, and he's been a good friend of our show.
Yes, he has.
Helps us here behind the scenes, and we're going to reward him today with a two-girl show.
Oh, boy. Oh.
And we'll be getting to that in just a second. Plus, I do want to tell you about the dentist. Oh, I know. You went to the dentist today also.
We both had dueling dental appointments today and both had tons of fun with our dentist.
Oh, and Jerry Lewis. I'm going to need some help. We're going to have a whole break today devoted to Jerry Lewis and some new stuff that he said.
I'm applauding for that because I like any time we do that, you know, it's the good Jerry. It's Jerry being serious, you know, a-hole Jerry.
And also today is Fat Tuesday.
Yes.
So we'll go through that exercise of calling the payphones down in New Orleans and talking to all those drunk people. And then
it always works.
Someone will say, show me your, you know, guy.
Right.
A-N-I-C, and then we'll have to delete that out. But that's kind of a treat always on the last day before Lent.
Sounds to me like quite a festive program today. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And that's only the half of it, buddy. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. I just wanted to tell you that you guys were in the newspaper in Sacramento, California today about that contest.
Really?
A real paper or a supermarket paper?
No, it's the Sacramento Bee. It's a real paper.
Oh, the Bee. Okay, that's a big paper.
Uh-huh.
All right, so what did it say?
Basically, it just said that they screwed up big time.
Do you have the article there?
Uh-huh. It says a botched...
Could you hold on? Rob, can we have the typewriter music, please?
Yeah, we actually want you to read us the article.
Okay.
You'll be our correspondent on the scene.
Okay.
This was in this morning's paper, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a short article?
Uh-huh.
Okay, don't feel any pressure here. Only 4 million people are listening to you.
All right, now what is your name?
Sarah.
And who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Definitely Neve Campbell.
Oh. Neve Campbell. Oh.
Oh.
Nice. Boo. Nice. Boo.
Wow, Neve Campbell, boys.
And now joining us from our Sacramento Bureau, here is Sarah Nice. Boo. Tell us about the blurb about us in the paper.
Okay. A botched sports 1140 contest last week caused a stir among listeners that the station and Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara of the nationally syndicated Don and Mike Show have promised to make things right. A drawing to win a Valentine's Day date with Don and Mike Show semi-regular Bridget the Midget Wells turned ugly when it was discovered that a Sports 1140 sales
rep... Hold on, let me just stop you right there for a second.
Their full name.
Many things. No, two things were like speed bumps to me. Don and Mike Show regular.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. I guess. Right. But I've never heard Bridget referred to. I didn't know her last name. What's her last name?
Bridget
Wells?
The Midget Wells.
Wells. Bridget the Midget Wells. Bridget Wells. I just never heard Bridget's name before.
How do you like that? You know, hats off to that Sacramento Bee. They had her last name. We didn't even know what it was.
All right, excuse me, Sarah. Back to the reading, please.
Okay. The station claimed the winner failed to show and the runner-up couldn't be reached in time, forcing the drastic measures to make amends. Sports 1140 has shipped more than 1,000 entries to the Don and Mike Show in Washington, D.C.
where an on-air drawing will take place sometime this week. The winner will date, well, the UCLA student who actually stands well over 5 feet.
Oh, that's it?
And that's all.
Oh, that's terrific.
All right.
Well, they had the facts pretty close.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Oh, I just wanted to let you guys know you were here.
There she is, correspondent, nice bush in Sarah, Sacramento. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hello.
Hello, get
a little media coverage in Sacramento.
Hello, Dynamite Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe in Wichita.
Yes, Joe. Hello.
Went to the movies last night. Watched that movie For Richer or Poorer with Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley.
Would you go to the Dollar Theater or something?
You bet.
Yeah. That movie's one step away from video, right?
That's right.
That's the one where they wear that Amish outfit, right?
Yeah, but when they go to Amish land, it shows them standing by the sign in Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
I bet they're not nearly as freaky as those Children to the Corn Amish that we saw in that grocery store.
And yeah, that father-son combination down there, they scared us. You see three grown men walking by and just in a state of terror. You know, we're not going near, because you think if you go near them, you're going to hear, Damien.
As a matter of fact, last night in the movie they mentioned something. Kirstie Alley said something about it, reminded her of Children of the Corn.
Mm-hmm. Ah, right, well, there you go.
And that's a credit to Children of the Corn, the definitive Amish movie.
How sloppy does Kirstie Alley look in that movie?
She looks terrible, man. She looks like a fat pig.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you ever seen that tabloid picture of her?
Oh, yeah, when she's walking down the street?
Going up like a flight of stairs?
Yeah. No, there's a new one now, a full-length one of her.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Walking down the street eating something. Have you seen that one, Buzz?
Yes, I have. The one I'm talking about shows her going up a flight of stairs, and it's got her from head to toe, and she's wearing one of those, those cape dresses that she wears, one of those floor-length numbers, and she is wide astern.
The one that I saw, she's walking down the street, I guess, with her young boyfriend, and he was feeding her something as they were walking down the street. You know, she must, just let me say this about her. She must try real hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? In the way that a wife should try real hard to please her husband.
Well, you know, maybe the guy can put up pictures of her in that Star Trek movie when she first broke into the show business.
Yeah. Oh, when she was real skinny.
Yeah.
Because she really looks like a load now. And they try to pass her off as sultry and steamy.
Voluptuous.
Yeah, but meanwhile, you know, you undo those wraps and wraps, and you got Dom DeLuise under there. So I think, you know, to keep her young boyfriend, she probably really puts out.
Has some has honed and refined her skills.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
She used to be married to one of the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Parker Stevenson.
Yeah, Parker right. Stevenson.
Thank you, Rob. Oh, yeah, and she's in the movie with Tim Allen. And I wanted to just take a second out. I know this is a weird way to get to this, but I'm so sick of TV shows that are supposed to be comedies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they can't come up with any more ideas, doing this whole a very special episode.
A very special home improvement.
Listen, there's one place that you should see shows like that. It's called the After School Special.
That's right. Yes.
You want to lecture kids about doing drugs or lecture kids about not sleeping with their teachers
right.
or whatever, you know. Put it on against Oprah.
Yes, absolutely. Or put it on the Kraft Hallmark Hall of Fame thing.
Just do a funny show. I've never seen a funny episode of Home Improvement when we had that guy who's the tool time buddy on our show.
The bearded guy.
Richard Karn.
He was a nice guy. I couldn't think of anything to ask him about the show because I've never seen it.
Yeah, and he was very nice, and I've seen the show.
I mean, I've seen it, but I've never stayed with an entire episode.
I don't find it particularly funny. No.
But all I know is that, and I read this review today in USA Today, written by Ed Martin, who I'm going to guess right now is really a woman, because, my God, this guy is making love to this show.
Yeah.
Among all its other accomplishments, this episode reminds us that family-themed comedies are out of favor, and quick cancellations are in style, that we may never have the opportunity to grow and learn from a family like the Taylors.
Oh, come on. What, you
want to see read any of the scripts?
No.
You want to learn from the tool time guy?
With that next door neighbor with just his hat showing? I mean, that stupid show.
That's a show that was based on a
dumb
lame
show.
A lame bit that he did in a stand up. That
ape man routine that he milked for a whole series.
That's a dumb show. He's a dumb guy.
There's a lot better shows out there.
But people like it. People like dumb guys and dumb shows.
when they're doing dumb stuff.
You know when it's time to cancel everything, when it's time to really jump off the planet, is when you get a very special third rock from the sun.
Never happened.
If that ever happens, you know that the end is near.
That won't happen. Oh, Tim Allen, give me the number at ABC. Would somebody get me the number? I'm really on fire about that. Because I've got nothing else to be on fire about. As I was discussing with the dentist today.
Tonight, Dick Solomon is in for the biggest fight of his life on a very special third rock from the sun.
You know, what's a boy to do? I met the dentist today, and he says to me, so, no war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing new with Monica. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, nothing new with Monica. Huh. What you going to talk about?
Yeah, I get
well, what am I going to talk about? I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about, Doc. Home improvement, Jack.
Home improvement, talking.
And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to somebody else.
Does he have a TV? Does your dentist have a TV?
Yes, but he wouldn't let me turn it on.
Oh, yeah, I got to turn it on and get headphones today.
Oh, wow.
And I was flipping.
First class service.
And he gave me the remote, and I was in.
Oh, that's great.
I was watching going in between CNN and Judge Judy. It was big time fun.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, bueno, Arbusto.
Right, hi.
Don, I was wondering if you had time today, if you could tell the story about how you first met Mike.
No, that's a very boring story.
I love that story.
No, it's a boring story. Come on. We've been working together for almost 13 years now.
For a couple of years, though. It made me laugh last time you told it.
Well, are you talking about the story of my past?
Yes.
The box. To be honest, I think, really, Don, that I'm beyond that, and I'm past that, and I don't...
Right.
You know, every time you told that story, to be perfectly honest, it didn't make me feel really all that good to look back.
I didn't portray you in the best light as the guy that was... The drunk guy that was entertaining other homeless guys on the corner doing a killer Sammy Davis impression.
Yeah. Well, I'd taken the refrigerator box and actually made it into a little amphitheater, and it was, I was proud of my work back then. I wasn't getting paid for it, but I was proud of my work, and then... Well, then the big Mr. Big Shot came by. Yeah.
Well, listen, enough of that. That's a boring story. Come on, live in the now.
All right.
Come on, 13 years we've been working together, for goodness sakes. What do you care how we got together?
Well, I think the funniest part was the part where Mike felt bad. That would probably make me laugh most.
Well, the funniest part for Dom was always when I threw up in his limousine.
Yes.
Yeah. That was not funny for my driver.
Your driver.
My driver.
Your personal driver.
Yeah.
So it drove you everywhere.
Hello, Don, my show.
Buena busta, amigos.
My driver. My butt.
Your carriage driver.
I tell you,
it'd be a funny story if you modified it and made it a horse and carriage.
Like, how about one of those, like, they go through Central Park?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you were just out there in your top hat. White tie and tails.
Even if I had ever achieved such a level of success, which at this point is highly doubtful, that I would be able to have a limo to take me places.
Right.
I like driving too much.
Oh, I do too.
I like cars too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I even like bad cars. I just like driving.
I like the freedom.
Because you're driving, you're going somewhere, you're doing something.
You have a driver, you got to like wait for him. You know, you're on his schedule. You're not on your own schedule. You can't like leave that 2 minutes earlier, that 15 minutes late.
Mm-hmm. And plus, you know, you can't do the things that you normally do when you drive when there's some guy there. You know what I mean? Like you got an itch that you just got to scratch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to do a little exploratory surgery?
That's right. Want to pick a winner. You know, I'd be sitting there with some guy wearing a goofy driving hat like that guy on the RJ show. Who's that guy who drove around Mr. and Mrs. Hart?
Max,
that's right. Max, I'm Max.
This is Mrs. Hart. She's gorgeous. I'm Max. Hey, Mr. H.
And Robert Wagner couldn't go anywhere. That guy was like a hemorrhoid to Robert Wagner.
He used to stay in the bedroom when he'd be making love to Stephanie Powers. Max would be over there.
Nicely done. How was it for you, Mrs. H?
So Robert Wagner, I know we've mentioned it before, and I guess probably a lot of people in our audience don't know who Robert Wagner is. But mm-hmm. Too bad.
Yeah.
He was married to Natalie Wood.
Yes, he was.
And then she drowned, and he, like in a heartbeat, just segued to Stephanie Powers.
Mm-hmm. On the TV show, in real life, he segued to Jill St. John.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So you got to count three of them.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. I always get Jill St. John and the other one mixed up anyway.
Sure. He segued from Natalie Wood to Jill St. John. And he was, on the show, he was making out with Stephanie Powers.
Yeah, so he went right from his wife who drowned to Jill St. John, who was another, like, 70s hottie.
Right.
With red hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time. But you know, used to do it with Henry Kissinger, which was kind of weird.
Oh, you don't hold that against the girl. I think Kissinger's a sexy man.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hello.
Yeah, Radio Gods.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
How you doing?
Yeah, that Robert Wagner. What a life that cat has, huh?
Oh, and he's Mr. Slicky Boy, too. You know, I mean, he's just, you know, he's a lot like George Hamilton in that way where he's timeless and he's the good-looking Hollywood guy that never ages.
How everybody can relate to him. Mm-hmm. He was in Austin Powers. He was the guy that was number two.
Sure.
That's the guy.
With his assistant, Alafa.
Alafa Vagina.
Alafa Vagina.
Hello, yeah, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, I rented a movie tape last night called Lethal Ladies, Day of the Warrior. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but you guys are in the background on radio in two scenes.
What is the movie?
Lethal Ladies, Day of the Warrior. It stars former Playhouse playmate Julie Strain.
Is it a porno?
WCW wrestler Marcus Bagwell.
Is it porno?
It's a cheesy B-rated TNA, yeah.
We're in the background, how you can actually hear the show?
The first scene of the movie is Julie Strain sitting at her desk in this, you know, see-through underwear, and Don and Mike are in the background opening up the show. About 20 minutes later...
Really, what's the name of that movie?
Lethal Ladies, Day of the Warrior.
Lethal Ladies, Day of the Warrior. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ruskin, Florida.
Where are you listening, on Tampa Bay?
Yeah, 1010.
1010, right.
Where does the movie take place?
Takes place in Washington, D.C. and Dallas, Texas. The first 25 minutes are probably in Washington. The last hour takes place in Dallas.
You rent that at Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Well, oh, really? Can you? Hey, they could get skin at Blockbuster.
Yeah, soft.
Soft skin?
Night.
And you're sure it's us. What do we say?
It's just you guys introducing the show. I don't know how long ago it was done. I'm assuming a couple years ago.
Well, listen, I'm sure someone in our audience will run out to Blockbuster. Maybe somebody listened to Blockbuster. They're a good sponsor of ours.
I was just checking to see if you guys get your royalties from that.
Royalties?
Oh, we talk about royalties. Would there be any royalties? Well, I guess the $250 that you spent.
Royalties?
I'm just wondering if you're on the way to that three-picture deal. This is the first step to that.
What was that?
I'm just wondering if you're on the way to your three-picture deal that you're always talking about.
Yeah, our three-picture contract.
One.
Yeah, three-picture contract. Yeah,
I just wanted to see if you guys heard of that. If you haven't heard of it, you might want to rent that and check it out.
All right, Michelle, listen, someone will thank you, my friend.
Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that really tickles my funny bone.
Oh, golly. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The rush to escape the city is on, and motorists race to beat the tangle of traffic found around the Bay Bridge at the start of every Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's okay until you hit this stinking bridge. Eight lanes and you still got a wait.
Toll booths look like starting lines as city residents make their way towards Sun and Surf. Some motorists say heading out a little early paid off.
Usually in Annapolis, you can't get through there after about 4 o'clock. So we thought if we hit a little earlier, we'd make it without getting too much traffic. It looks okay.
And local radio personalities Don and Mike sent an emissary to provide motorists with a little entertainment.
Look at me! I'm Robbie! Happy Memorial Day, man! Have a good one! Enjoy the traffic!
As far as the bridge is concerned anyway, Maryland State Police say the Memorial Day weekend appears to be off to a pretty smooth start. At the Bay Bridge, Stephen Cheetah, News Channel 8.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Oh, listen, so the dentist today. You know, I'm really, really paranoid about the dentist. And I really get myself worked up. I didn't sleep good last night.
Really?
And all I was doing today was going in for my follow-up cleaning.
Mm-hmm. You just had a cleaning?
Well, and I had to meet with the guy about possibly getting oral surgery to take care of that tooth I'm missing.
Right. Oral surgery?
Yeah, I decided against it.
You're not going to have an implant put in there?
No. You don't want to know how much it costs.
Does he screw it in like the listener called and said?
Yeah, he explained it to me. First, he told me the cost, which, you know, you could buy a nice car for right. what he wants to charge me for putting this fake tooth in my head.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they go in and they drop something in first,
mm-hmm.
like a setting.
Right,
a
depth charge.
And then I got to wait 6 weeks until it takes hold, until mm-hmm. the root of my tooth would be to gather around it, much like a tree, you know, gathers into the mud.
You know, now I'm beginning to realize that listener that I really gave a hard time to was pretty accurate,
yeah.
but it is a pretty involved process.
Yeah, and then after that, I have to go back to have it done. And I said, hey, can I have it done on a weekend? And he said, no. And I said, well, you know. Until we get that three-picture deal, I guess I would just live with this.
Well, where's the space?
I don't know.
Back in the
back. How you doing?
No, you can't really see it.
Oh, really?
I mean, you do that. If you walk around with your finger pulled back to your ear, you can do that.
Goodies.
Hello, goodies, headache powders. I like my goodies, headache powders.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, that's why when I smile, I don't smile all the way open. Really, I don't. Yeah, okay, show off.
Well, no, Kevin, no, I mean, but I'm
full
not,
smiler.
I'm not trying to. I got. Hey, I had a crown put in there
yeah.
today.
You know, at least you got a tooth back there. You got a tooth.
Well,
in your
I got
head.
A little nub of a tooth that he, you know, that he shaved down and popped a, you know, a temporary crown on, and then said, "Be careful, don't pick at it."
I wish I had a nub.
Smile broadly, so and it's not noticed. Well, now it is. Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Maybe from that side.
Yeah,
I,
but you know who smiles?
Who looks like
a smile that broadly?
No, I'd like to, Mike. I'd like to smile that broadly every day on the show.
Isn't there an alternative that can't you get a bridge?
Yeah, I don't trust that. I've had bridges before, and I always end up eating them. You know what I mean?
Sneezing them out across the room or something
yeah.
like that?
Oh, really? I'm eating something, and all of a sudden I...
Is a bridge a cheaper alternative?
Yes, this is extremely expensive, what this guy's talking about. So I didn't do it. But I wanted to say hi to all the guys and gals in there who made it really special for me today. They gave me the treatment, I guess, that you would give a five-year-old upon coming the first time to the dentist. When I went in to the room, they had signs everywhere that said, "We like cowards." Okay? And then she came over and she sat down and she opened, you know, I opened my mouth.
Right.
And she got the first look.
Yeah.
She said, "Well, it's not too bad in there this time.
Let's have a look at that mouth."
Right? And then she started scraping on my teeth and stuff and doing all that. And you know, she didn't let me spit enough.
Yeah.
I had a lot of that stuff in my throat, and I didn't want to swallow it back.
You know what the dentist told me today?
What?
Said I had a very strong tongue. Because when he was back there and spraying around and doing all the shaving, and then he actually had to cut in half the gold crown, and I could see, like, gold dust flying up there. And he said, "Boy, I can tell what you do for a living. You've got a very strong tongue," because apparently a lot of people
Mr.
go...
Mr. O'Mara, you have a very strong tongue.
A lot of people go, like that. But I was able to keep my tongue in that one position so none of the so they could actually use it all with suction and suck out all the stuff, and I never swallowed because my tongue was so incredibly strong.
Meanwhile, my tongue is retarded.
Did you gag or something like that?
No, she's in there trying to clean, and she says, "Move your tongue, please."
Right.
And I go, and as soon as I move it, as soon as she puts her finger back, like my tongue goes back to on her finger, and she says, "Can you move your tongue?" She ended up putting clamps in my mouth, like these little...
The little ice cream
little
scoop?
Little divider, you know, like we give someone if they're biting their tongue off or something, to make sure that my tongue stayed on the right side.
That's a new device, and you know, I hate to keep saying, you know, this is what my guy did, but it's making me think about it. Is it like an ice cream scoop kind of thing, like
uh-huh.
a silver thing that they put in your mouth?
Right.
I've never had that myself today, and so if it makes you feel any better, they gave me that when they were doing the work so I wouldn't go...
It made me think a Little Shop of Horrors.
Does this scare you?
So then I got done with the cleaning, and I had the consultation with the guy, and then I'm still sitting in the chair.
Right.
Still sitting in the chair. How many times can you look at the poster of the tooth that's gone bad?
Yeah. Right.
I'm sitting there, and then the dentist came back, and he said, "Well, can I show you something?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And he turned on the little video thing, got a picture of my teeth when I went in there, like... Back in September.
Is it like the poster? Is it like the picture that Steve Martin shows Bill Murray?
Yeah. They have...
Or Rick Moranis.
It's a picture. Rick Moranis.
Right.
It's a picture of behind my back teeth.
Right.
Where I had lots and lots of buildup and stuff.
Did it look like you were showing the back of Jersey Walls on the highway?
You could have shown the picture to somebody, and without them seeing it was somebody's mouth, you could say, "This is what the anthrax virus does to you." So he puts that up, and I go, "I don't want to see that." And he says, "No, let me show you something." And then they put in the picture from today.
And it was a vast improvement.
Vast improvement.
Have you been like regularly flossing and brushing and doing all that good stuff?
Pretty much. Pretty much. You know.
Your teeth look better.
As close as I can get. Thanks. Did they look that bad before?
I never noticed your mouth.
Really?
No, I mean, I really
liar.
Didn't. I didn't.
Liar.
I'm not looking at you.
Liar.
I'm not looking there. Not looking there at all. But they look whiter.
Yeah, they are.
They look. It looks like you have been doing something to make your teeth, your smile, brighter.
It's called brushing. I'm just hip to that. I'm almost 40, and I'm just getting hip to that.
Were you a regular brusher prior to the visit to this dentist?
At least in the morning and at night, but sometimes...
That's
not
more
as,
than I brush.
Well, not as vigorously as perhaps I should.
Oh, really? Just kind of like a once-over?
Yeah. Right. You know, just to get, mainly just to get the bad taste out of my mouth, whatever acidy taste I had.
So kind of like you'd lay the toothpaste on the brush and just do a swipe.
Well, I've got that Braun thing.
See, that's a great toothpaste.
The motorized one, you know, and I would just, you know, go over once or twice and go, ah, well, that's done.
You know. In the front? Or?
Yeah, just in the front, yeah. Because, you know, you can't see the back, so who cares what the back looks like. But it's a new me now. And I'm not afraid of the dentist anymore.
Congratulations.
Until the next time I have to go, which is June. I said, why do I have to come back in June if I'm doing so well? We just want to make sure that you don't come back to us looking like you did when you first came to us.
Right. Really?
Yeah, like I'm the case study. Like whenever they get someone in there, you know, I'm guessing, they get someone in their chair and they go, you should take better care of your teeth. Why, look at this photo. Look at what this man had behind his teeth.
I have two more visits. I have to go twice because my mouth is in bad shape. I have to get like three or four cavities filled and another... The permanent crown put on, two more things filled, and then another one. So I have two more visits where they're going to give me the you know, the Novocaine. And why do they always have their hand in that weird way when they're doing that? He said, you're going to feel a little
pinch, claw,
a little bitty pinch here, and then, you know, 15 minutes later it's, preacher, may I have, ooh, that hurts.
Oh.
That, you know, it hurts where they put the needle in for the Novocaine. Yeah. Yeah, you've had Novocaine before.
Yeah. Oh, I had Novocaine today.
That's a little
just for my cleaning. I'm very paranoid. I said, numb me up.
Have you ever had nitrous oxide?
Oh, yeah, that's a gas. If you'll pardon the pun.
Yeah. I heard it makes you a little nauseous, though, does it?
Well, who cares? You know, you're laughing your ass off. Who cares? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listening to you guys today, you guys do a great job. I was wondering what you thought about the skin signing Dana Stubblefield.
Huh? Didn't somebody call us yesterday about this?
People want your opinion. I asked you your opinion before the show, and I realize it's not the sports show, but because you host the Redskins pregame show, people look to you as an expert on the subject.
He's okay. See, I don't want to say something that's going to make me seem like anti-Redskin. I'm very glad the Redskins went out and spent a lot of money and got a guy.
I hear like lots of sportscasters around town that are absolutely raving about this guy.
Well, those guys are all undersexed. Those guys... I don't know. I can't get that excited about it. Maybe he'll be a great player for the Redskins. I hope so. Yeah. Dana Stubblefield.
Right.
You know, I can think of, off the top of my head, five or six guys that I would have before him if I had a team.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for the record, great move, Skins. You the man, Skins. You the man. Okay?
Oh, all right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There. Now you've spoken to the issue.
Well handled.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
My name's Dave. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how long has it been since you had this this hole in your tooth, or in your jaw?
Oh, I don't know. Mike, that's on the trip when I almost drowned. What was that, 10 years ago?
Long time ago,
something
yes.
like that, 8, 9 years ago?
I heard something. My father works with people that do dental implants. And from what I understand, unless you have something in where the hole is, in where your tooth is missing...
I'm going to stop you right now before you tell me something bad.
It's not that bad. I mean...
No, I don't want to hear it, okay? I went to the dentist today. I went to a real dentist today.
Yeah. If you have a hole, you know, he's going to say something like, and if you keep that hole there, you know what's going to happen to you in 8 years? In 8 years, your ear will actually grow into your cheek.
Yeah, if that's the case, I think the doctor would have told me that today. Yeah.
Right.
Hello?
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, great show, as usual, always.
Thank you.
The other thing is, you know, one way to stay out of the dentist's office, drink a lot of water.
I do, man.
You know, why does water, what does
that
do?
It's a constant clean, you know, cleaning solution, and it's got fluoride in it.
I must drink like 100 ounces of water a day.
But I'm talking
really?
About
wow.
Well, you know, so I wish my dog would drink more water, because my dog now, his butt and his mouth, I'm sure they smell exactly the same. I've never been down around his buttocks, but I will tell you right now, I took him to the vet yesterday and I said, did he poop? And I realized he was sitting there looking at me going, and it was, his teeth are so bad, and it's apparently it happens with the breed.
Isn't that supposed to be the cleanest place on a dog's, like say the dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth?
No, roadkill smell better than my dog's mouth. My dog's mouth is so bad that they're going to have to now.
How bad is it?
If they're going to have to take him back, they're going to take him back to the vets. They have to put him to sleep so they can take a laser to his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad and how caked on the tartar is.
How bad is it?
It was so bad. I saw my dog in the backyard dipping his Robin in this tea.
Hi-oh!
Hi-oh!
Oh, great one as always. I stand ready with my dentures ready to bite your
boy. Polyps, hi-oh.
Oh, thank you. Take a laser to them, Ed.
Hi-oh, I bite them with great joy.
Feel so, so good. So embarrassed.
Hello, Don and Mike. You know about that tape? Hey, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You know that tape we have of Johnny Carson? The one where he's talking about Vagigo,
right,
that
right.
product. Do you know that there is an uncensored version of that tape?
Ooh. Really?
In which you not only hear Johnny say the F word.
Right.
I did not realize that at one point during that fake during that commercial that was obviously edited out of the Tonight Show,
mm-hmm.
Johnny uses the C word.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
And when we have a Las Vegas-style show, I think we got one coming up in 2 or 3 weeks. We'll be announcing it soon. We'll bring the uncensored tape
Hi-oh.
To play it for you.
Hi-oh.
Yeah, that's pretty wacky. I never had known that in all the time we've played the version that has the beeps in it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Johnny with potty mouth.
Johnny with the C word.
Wow.
Johnny C. Hello. Hey, we'll play that coming out of the next break. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike and Buzz. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, buddy.
That's good. Hey, have y'all seen the new pictures of Monica and her new hairstyle?
Monica has a new hairdo, are you sure?
Oh, no.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's like it's a bob cut, right? It's like down to her shoulders.
It's starting to look like Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, it's shorter and it's a little easier to take care of and it stays out of her food.
No.
And it's easier for a man to grab her by the hair and thrust her head down into his presidential groin.
Down there.
Mr. President, you have more than enough hair down there.
Oh, there's something gross about that. Thinking about down there on the president.
Down there.
Yeah, let me just say one more thing. Water does keep you from getting cavities. When I was a kid, I used to brush my teeth. But I used to drink a lot of water and chew on a lot of ice.
Well, if you have fluoride.
And I did not receive my first cavity until I was about 38 years old.
That's if you have fluoride in your water, and a lot of water has fluoride.
Yeah, go talk to somebody in Britain on that plan.
Yeah.
Go look at those people, man.
Another thing, my dog's butt smells better than his breath.
How would you know that?
He farts all the time around the house.
All right, thank you.
I can't tell which is mine and which is his anymore.
Gotcha, thank you. Thank you very much.
That was a good one.
Probably a little more information than we needed, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon, guys. You're making the day.
Right. Okay. Shut up now.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. So long.
Toodaloo.
Hang up.
All right. See you later.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You did it. You had to do it. You had to overstate.
I'm gone. No!
Oh, he got out of here in time before the fairy godmother got him.
Shut your f***ing mouth.
Oh, my. They're running from her now.
Oh, fairy godmother. Oh, my goodness. We've given you a huge block of commercial-free rock. We got to do a break, and then we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jay. And Paul. And Ma. And May. Not knowing that asshole don't go. Asshole don't go away. And now, they alone. Jay rest with Jay. And now rest with Neil. My tata for Neil. My car for Neil. No, I own a cane and you're okay. Miss Chickpea.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I was just calling to say that you were off the air in Boise, but now you're back on, so I'm pointless.
All right, that's called a commercial set. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Huh?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, well, you guys are cut off up in Massachusetts.
Oh, maybe that was a network problem, not just a commercial break. Well, we should be back on.
Are you sure? Yeah. They're playing oldies now. I was listening to you guys. It's really bugging me.
Oh, you know what? The network must have lost the feed for a second.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it'll take...
Back on now, hey.
Yeah, so it just took the people at the station a couple of minutes to get hit with that. Okay.
All right, that's cool then.
Thank you.
Take care.
You can blame Al Nino for that.
Hey, everybody. Al Nino with you. Good look at Tuesday.
Al Nino.
Two for Tuesday on the Al Nino Show. Hello. Donna Mike.
Hello?
Hello. Turn down your radio, please. Well, all right, that's extreme.
Sometimes people get confused, the big knob and whether to hang up the phone.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Hello.
Guess what? You can't guess?
You're off the air. We're off the air in your town.
No, you're coming in loud and clear in town, and I'm loving it.
Wrong, Buzz Burbank.
I can see that now.
Wrong. Fuzzy, wuzzy, coot and fuzzy.
What?
That's about it. I just called for that.
What? What did you call for?
Just to let you know everything's going groovy in Baltimore and you're coming in well.
So that was what the guess what was all about?
Yeah.
Guess what?
You've taken less valid calls than that.
Guess what?
No what?
You're not on the show anymore. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's like when you get somebody that says, hey, you know what?
What?
Guess.
All right. Here's what. It comes to me, get a... You call somebody and go, do you know how to keep an idiot in suspense?
How?
I'll tell you in 5 minutes.
Oh!
That's a funny joke.
All right, here's what it said about Jerry Lewis in today's USA Today.
This is serious Jerry stuff.
Serious Jerry. He gets an award. I don't know who the people are who would give him an award. The American Comedy Awards.
Oh.
So they give him an award, and it says, honoree Jerry Lewis thanks his former partner, the late Dean Martin. Quote, the straight man is never given recognition. And I'll tell you right there, that's his way of putting down Dean Martin.
Yeah, that's the way of him saying that Dean was never funny.
Right. Jerry was the funny guy, but it's real tough being the guy that's not funny. Then he advised young comedians. Here's another quote. Do what I did. Demand perfection. Never settle for less. Think funny. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Can you believe, of all the people in the universe, Jerry Lewis is telling people not to take themselves too seriously?
And that's the progression. The progression is, do what I did, demand perfection, never settle for less, think funny. Oh, yes, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, right, really, now. Jerry who wears one pair of socks a day.
And then here's the best quote of all. Off stage, Jerry Lewis refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
Oh, wow.
No, I can't do this. He sternly told a photographer, Gary, you have to call first.
Wow.
That's like not written like a joke.
Yeah.
It's written like how Jerry Lewis does business. You want your picture taken with him, you got to call and set it up in advance.
And obviously it was some publicist that was saying, let's put Gary Shandling together with Jerry Lewis. But my God.
Yeah, so the quote is, no, I can't do this. He refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
My God.
No, I can't do this. Gary, you have to call first.
How weird is that?
Jerry.
That'll be mentioned on Larry Sanders, no doubt.
Jerry on the Zoo.
Jerry Lewis, what a life, what a career. What did you think of Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor?
It was my financial pleasure.
God, Jerry.
See, when you talk about Whitney Houston, she's a great vocalist. Okay. When you talk about Tim Allen, he's a great comic.
That's debatable.
I don't know that Tim Allen isn't qualified to do all the things I do, or all the things that Chaplin did. I don't know.
What a pompous ass.
Yeah, putting himself into Charlie Chaplin's category.
Of course.
He may not want to do more than he does, or he may know his limitations. But when you talk about Sammy Davis Jr., you're talking about somebody that was injected with a spirit to be a total performer.
Jive ass.
I got it from my dad.
Not Sammy, I mean Jerry.
Yeah, and really, it's okay that he's saying that, which is true, anybody that's ever seen Sammy Davis Jr. But then,
Sammy.
But then you hear Jerry, who is not really complimenting Sammy Davis Jr., he is comparing himself to Sammy Davis Jr.
And pointing out how much better he is, just like he's doing Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm. He says he's injected with this ability. I got it from my dad.
Right.
I mean, it's like, Jerry, hello!
He had a very simple philosophy. If you're going to be in this business, do it all. Know it all. Learn it all.
Yeah, you know it all.
Absolutely be aware of your craft, and then go out on the stage and have a great time.
Shut up, Jerry.
Giving the people their money's worth. My dad used to say to me, if you walk off stage and you didn't sweat, you're an amateur.
What a jive ass Jerry Lewis is, man.
Give me another lozenge. I need another lozenge.
How do I find out if that's true or not? Do we have the number for the American Comedy Awards? It's in Los Angeles. I guess it was Sunday night. It's already happened?
Yes, they taped it, and it's coming up on Fox.
Oh, it hasn't run yet?
Right.
I'd like to know if that's on the level.
What's the name of the person that wrote the article?
Shoe Factor. Shoe Factor with you. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, I want to thank you for busting his balls. That guy is, I've just been dying for you to pick on this guy. He is,
who, Jerry?
Huh?
Jerry Lewis?
Yeah, that guy, you guys did such a number on him a few months back, and he is just,
every time I listen to that guy, I just can't even believe it.
Well, see, most of the time now, I think it was Dennis Miller that said that he doesn't laugh at Jerry when Jerry's trying to be funny. He laughs at Jerry when he's trying to be serious.
Oh, hey, listen.
Exactly. If anybody needed his balls busted, it's that guy.
And about Dennis Miller, all right, thank you, my friend. We always like taking a hate Jerry call.
Sure.
About Dennis Miller, somebody has been giving him Rosie O'Donnell pills.
Oh, really?
Because every time I see that show, he is so nice to people.
Yeah, and the interview segment, he doesn't even need on that show.
I watched it last night, and Drew Barrymore was the guest.
Yeah, was he kissing her butt, too?
Wouldn't you expect the outspoken Dennis Miller, you know, the Dennis Miller cats, that I just look at the camera at a jaunty angle, go, what's up with that cat?
Right.
Would you expect him to grill her a little bit about
the tattoos and the and flashing David Letterman,
yeah,
the
her
lifestyle.
Whole lifestyle?
Sure. Yeah.
No, he comes out and she sits down and he says, "Babe, you were great in The Wedding Singer," and then she says, "It was a real joy working with Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Adam is such a great guy. He makes everybody feel so good. You know, that's a real good movie. That's a movie we did," and that's the point when I went, click.
You didn't miss anything after
that. Did you watch the rest of it, Buzz?
Yeah, I did. You didn't miss
anything. Oh, that's a bummer. Who neutered Dennis Miller? He used to be a guy who you could count on to turn on TV and see something out there.
And he's, got the contract with HBO, so keep the edge, Dennis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was using the F word a lot, which I think is great.
That's great. He does that liberally.
Because in real life, everybody uses the F word all the effing time.
But are we in agreement that when you're watching that show, that the interview segment is normally the most awkward and the lamest? His monologue is okay.
Next to the phone call.
And the pictures. Yeah,
the phone calls. He struggles through those calls. Yeah.
He limps through those.
Yeah. We should get some of our callers calling him up.
I thought they did.
Hello.
Dennis Miller. You have any jelly?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you've got to be kidding me. Jerry Lewis thinks he's actually on par with, like, Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, well, you heard him. Yeah.
What a joke.
We haven't you heard
this? You've got to be kidding me.
We have a collection of tapes of Jerry Lewis talking about himself.
The sanctimonious Jerry. The Jerry, the holier-than-thou Jerry.
Jerk.
All right, thank you, my friend. Apparently we're opening some people's eyes to Jerry Lewis.
Bye. Tonight.
Okay, bye.
I don't know about who's around that understands that today. I think that what is missing in a lot of our performers today is passion. I think that some of them think that's a sign of weakness. I have never had a problem with tears. If they come, they come. And I make a very, very simple deal with everybody. You take me exactly like I am, or you can't have me.
Isn't it a pain in the ass?
Can't have you. Oh, I want you, Jerry.
Isn't it a pain in the ass hearing somebody who's lucky enough to have that kind of life,
right,
and to hear him lecture us about how smart he is and how lucky we are
to have him,
to be on the planet we have. Jerry Lewis? Jerry Lewis?
And just remember, you wouldn't have his picture taken with Gary Shandley. Call me.
Call me. You have to call first, Jerry.
Call first.
I don't need you in my dress room to tell me I was wonderful because I know it while I'm doing it.
Oh.
I also know from the inner government how bad I did if I did badly.
The inner government would be, of course, Jerry's incredible brain.
Yeah, right.
That's the inner government. That's the Politburo, if you will.
Right, because there could be no one who could ever say to him in real life, hey, Jerry, you kind of bombed.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he means by that is, you're right, he knows in his head, every show's great.
The inner government.
The inner government.
My mind.
Come to my dressing room when I'm hurting. Don't come for the victory dinner. You got to come both times.
So what that means is if you want to come backstage after he's had a killer show, you got to come backstage when he's had a not-so-killer show.
That's right. Jerry wishes you to visit him in his dressing room, kissing his ass both times.
Jerry.
Otherwise, the inner government will be mad at you.
Offstage, Jerry Lewis refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
Of course.
No, I can't do this, he sternly told a photographer. Gary, you have to call first.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's an insult to a real funny guy, Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've yelled about Gary Shandling and what apparently is his limited work ethic.
Yes, which we understand.
But at least he's a funny guy.
Very funny guy.
How do you deal with the constant criticism you get for it?
You suck, Jerry.
The same way Babe Ruth dealt with striking out.
Oh, God.
Listen, okay. Sammy Davis Jr., Babe Ruth, Charlie Chaplin. We're leaving out the Pope and and Jesus.
Figure out what the anger is at you.
Yes.
What do you make of this?
There are six people in Chicago that think that I am creating a pity atmosphere. I can't be concerned with six people.
I'm serving 1,500,000 patients of neuromuscular disease.
Oh.
I'm serving their families.
You know, if he didn't have that to hang his hat on, people would have tossed him out on his ass a long time ago.
And even that, and nobody can argue with the work that the Muscular Dystrophy Association does, but even that, Jerry, it's the doctors that are treating these people. Okay, you raise money, you do great, you raise that money with the Jerry, you're not treating them. They're not your patients.
I'm serving their lives. How do I allow that to be dissipated by six people in Chicago to think I'm some kind of a moron?
Shut up. Here's the best tape, though. This is the best Jerry Lewis tape. This is the one where he's talking about hugging 10 men. This is the one that, this is the one that's off the scale. That you know, you could get a room full of psychologists and ask them, what does this mean? And they would be stumped. Jerry Lewis.
But do you ever think about not being there?
Of course. Absolutely.
And
it saddens me to think that I'll miss her graduation, maybe.
His daughter.
But I have a very simple philosophy. There are 10 men standing against the wall.
Let me get this now. If there are 10 men standing against the wall.
With no particular reason, they're just there because Jerry's there.
10 men standing against the wall.
I will go and start to hug them.
All right. I will go and start to hug them.
For no particular reason, they're standing against the wall. Jerry will begin his hugs.
10 men against the wall. Jerry wants to hug them.
Knowing that three are going to turn me down.
Not three two. Men will turn him down.
Not two, Don, not one. Three out of the 10. That leaves seven that are hugging him.
So I should stay over here and not go for the seven? Doesn't make any sense. I got news for you. When you go, you usually get eight and maybe nine.
What?
So you would say to men watching in their 60s who have...
Up, frog.
Hug me. So does that
mean... What the hell does that mean?
Does that mean, seriously, if we were ever to bump into Jerry at any kind of function, we could go, Jerry, how about a hug? 7 out of 10. Come on now.
And you know he would say, F you.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd walk away.
Of course. He spit his lozenge at us.
Make
Jerry.
An appointment.
Hello.
He wants to hug you around the waist.
Donna Mike Show. Say, hey, Jerry, the inner government wants to say hi to you.
You think your inner government would allow a hug?
Hello.
Yeah, have you seen Dennis Miller have a new set of choppers? He's got false teeth now.
Sounds to me like you have no teeth.
You know, Jerry Lewis probably hugs him around the waist. You know what I mean? Just on his knees.
Wow, get towel off, sir.
Yes, hello. That's right, you drank the poison.
That's right.
Come on, talk in your real voice.
Check out Dennis Miller's. Their teeth. There's something wrong with his teeth now.
All right, hold on. If you want to talk about Dennis Miller, talk in your real voice for a second.
I can't talk. This is my real voice.
All right, I'll tell you my opinion on Dennis Miller's teeth. I think Dennis Miller has fake teeth a la Regis Philbin.
Like caps?
Yeah.
No.
They look bigger and phonier than they've looked before.
Yeah, big porcelain.
He can take them out and put them in a bowl.
All right, I shouldn't ask this, but do you have any problem with your mouth?
Sometimes I do.
What is the problem? What's the nature of the problem?
The teeth.
What's wrong with your teeth?
I'm pulling them out and put them in the drawer, too.
Oh, so you have dentures?
Sure.
Can you take them out right now?
I don't have them in.
Oh, you don't have them in?
Couldn't you tell?
No.
Don't you think you might need your teeth?
Yeah, when I leave the house.
All right, could you put them in now so we can hear how you sound when you put them in?
Going out of the room. I'm not going in there.
Not going in there.
No way.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Ooh. See you later, hon.
I love Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, Donna Mike, when I was little, I used to love Jerry Lewis until I saw an old home video or the old home movie, silent home movies.
Yeah.
My parents drug me to one of those, you know, let's go over to Bob's house to watch the old home movies of Jerry Lewis. It was a film of him going over in a dinner show when he was doing those things in Vegas.
Yeah.
Putting his foot down on this guy's steak while he was eating it. And the story I remember was that he chewed this guy out for doing that GD thing while he was doing his act.
For eating a steak?
For eating his dinner. Well, you do that before or after his show, but during the show, you give Jerry your full attention.
So he walked over and he put his foot on the guy's steak?
On the guy's steak.
Oh, man, I take the steak and I throw it at him. That is amazing that he would... But you can believe that he pulled something like that.
Jerry.
Sure.
Because he's Jerry, man.
And he didn't try to give the guy a 10-guy hug. He put his foot in the steak.
Okay.
Well, probably was a clean sock.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Yeah, because he's phobic like that. Jerry Lewis wears a pair of socks once and throws them away. And do you remember the jive-ass story behind that? When I was a young boy, we didn't have a lot for the simple things.
That's right.
And I said to myself, if I ever make something of myself, I'm going to wear a pair of socks once and throw them away. That is the true story.
That's it.
That's right, Jerry.
From Jerry.
Jerry. And we actually got hold of one of those socks one time.
Yes, we did. There was a limo driver that gave us one of Jerry's monogram socks that he left in a limo, and we auctioned it off for charity or something, didn't we?
We certainly did. Somebody owns that sock now.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I think I might know what Jari was trying to say with the 10 guys on the wall thing. Maybe he was trying to say something like nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah, of course that's what he was trying to say, but...
But, I mean, it didn't make any sense. It was convoluted, and it didn't work.
You know, first off, he's going on the thought that anybody wants a hug from Jerry Lewis, and by hug he means wants to be entertained by Jerry Lewis. And, hey, if there's a room of people there, and I don't try to entertain them...
Sure.
You know, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to be the Dalai Lama, and he's not, and, you know, that's the one guy he hasn't compared himself to.
Yeah, we get the point.
Okay.
We understand it.
All righty.
Thank you, Dr. Freud.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Yes, I'm calling for Don and Mike. Listen, morons, let me explain to you what Jerry was saying.
Marvelous. It's marvelous.
It's just a marvelous role with a tremendous company.
Marvelous.
And we're having the best time. We don't understand that they pay us for this.
Marvelous.
I have mellowed with this whole project in that I think that I can best expound on it and as simply as possible. I've had a marvelous ride. I've had a tremendous career.
Marvelous.
And for a man who's pushing 70, you figure you will kick back and look at your scrapbooks and think
marvelous
of the wonderful stuff you've done.
Marvelous.
The last thing in the world you ever think is someone's going to bring you this marvelous cake.
Marvelous.
Put a cherry on top of it and say you're
a marvelous cake.
It's like taking a racehorse out of the fields in Kentucky. And he's been eating grass for 6 years, and they say you're going to be in the Derby.
Marvelous.
He ain't going to believe it. He ain't going to do it too well, but he ain't going to believe it. And it's pretty much like that.
Why do guys like that want to tell us goddamn stories? You know, you should be glad that someone's asking him a question to begin with. Just answer the question. Don't give us Aesop's fables.
It's great. I love doing the show. I'm real happy that at this stage of my career I could be in a show like this.
It was marvelous.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
You know,
marvelous. He's marvelous. Marvelous. Cake with a cherry on top.
You know, we ever see him. That's just like, you are marvelous.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
You know, he's marvelous.
Theater is life. Film is art. And television is furniture. You must never forget that.
Isn't he something? Jerry Lewis. Will someone on this show please research where I could call up to find that out about Gary Shandling?
He really did turn down Gary Shandling for a picture.
Even if we have to call HBO to try to ask Gary Shandling. And plus, I'd like to call ABC to tell them I'm not in the mood to see a very special home improvement tonight.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not in the cards for you tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, quick break right here, and we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come in!
Come in! Hey, Grandma! I brought an old bunny rabbit for you to have!
Rabbit?
Hey, Grandma! You almost forgot! Grandma! What big eyes you got!
Yeah, I know. All right, all right. Big eyes, big eyes. I know. Come on, come on.
New to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
That is yummy. Hello, honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
Listen, I know what I ask you about. I already asked you. I already told you about that cigar thing I'm going to go to, right?
Yep. Oh, by the way, you had a cigar message on the machine. I didn't understand it.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, I'll call and get that.
All right.
Buenos dias, Don. The fresh Connecticut-shaped grunt wrapper is wrapped around your fine blend of rich Dominican tobacco.
If my husband doesn't come up with a new way every year to waste money, something's wrong.
I want to talk about cigars at some point today, and that ridiculous magazine, Cigar Aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
I am a subscriber to that.
Which
ridiculous
is another
magazine
thing you waste money on, but that's all right.
Did you get a subscription to it?
No, I just go down and buy it.
Oh, okay.
But, but you know, it's all good for me because I bought some things for the house the other day, and he said, "Did that come out of your decorating budget?" And I said, "No, that was out of my cigar budget."
No.
Oh yeah, that's for the piece of art that my wife got for the house, which is like one of those things that's made out of like scrap metal and old aluminum cans and stuff.
Oh, really? So a sculpture, a piece of sculpture.
Yeah.
It looks like the head of a German shepherd.
Yeah.
And it's made out of like barbed wire and stuff.
Wow. Did you get a chance to meet the artist?
I spoke to her about
meet the artist. We're putting her through college.
Yeah, very interesting. And I talked about the celebrities that buy artwork from. Very interesting. She told me a very interesting story. She had one piece of sculpture that was two dogs mating. And I said, "Oh, is this in a private home? It was out of this wire and stuff." And she said, "Well, the interesting thing about that is that Mary Tyler Moore gave it as a wedding present to Bernadette Peters and had dog tags made with their names on it." She and her husband.
I wonder what significance that has. You know?
Maybe Mary likes it.
With Bernadette.
Mary's not as staid and prim and proper as Laura Petrie would have seemed.
Hey, listen, honey, what was that show we watched last night where there was a lawyer that married the guy that was as stupid as Forrest Gump?
Oh, I don't know. I get all those shows mixed up. I can't tell 2020 from Dateline from any of them.
It was one of those shows, though, and the plot was that there was this guy who had been high and drunk and killed somebody, so he went to jail.
He's on death row.
Yeah, he went to jail. He's on death row, and they got him a lawyer.
A public defender.
A real Linda Trippish lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And she fell in love with him, and I guess she screwed his case up because she was in love with him.
And that's not all.
Oh, the real story.
Yeah, and we were...
Oh, the big fat lady, the big fat lawyer.
Yeah, we were watching it, and then at one point they said, "This man has an IQ of 65.
Yeah, and he's not real happy that she screwed up his case.
Yeah.
And it might be resulting in him going to the death penalty.
And then I thought...
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
And Forrest Gump was a 75.
Yeah.
Right, so that guy was like so dumb.
I'm not a smart man.
It was weird too. And did you see it last night? Did you guys see that show?
I saw it on the Today Show this morning. They had a little blurb on it, and they showed her being interviewed saying, "You know, I was in love with him, and I guess I messed up because now he's going to get the death penalty."
Frida told me that early in the story that she looked cute.
Well, they did. They showed a quick montage of photos of her, and she wasn't as hefty, and so.
But I think cute would be overstating it, don't you?
Compared to what she looked like currently.
Yeah, she. I guess that's when they did the interviews with her.
But to a guy with a 65 IQ,
I guess
she looks like Pamela Anderson.
I think that's the bottom line. Does, sir.
You see the way she looks, and the, you know, his situation that he's in, and he got the perfect relationship.
She said that they would be like in court, and she would take him into a back room. And she would do him. And then they would come back out, and she would, like, argue his case and stuff.
Oh, man.
You know, and the guy is like, you know, "I love you, Jenny."
"I love Jenny. Will you marry me?"
Perhaps it's your theory about people who are not gifted up here.
Yeah, I don't doubt that he was, you know.
Sure.
Quite well, you know.
She was satisfied, but she was so satisfied that she didn't pay attention to the legal
details
and the details of his trial, resulting in him being convicted of the death penalty.
Oops. And they waited until like halfway through the story to mention that he has a 65 IQ.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise I was looking at the guy and thinking, well, he's, you know, a normal-looking guy. I don't know why he would be attracted to her.
Well, can you imagine you're behind bars and you've got a 65 IQ and you get to do it with a lawyer? I mean, no matter what she looks like.
Sure, if you're on death row, I imagine you're not too finicky.
I guess so. All right, those two things combined, a 65 IQ and being on death row.
You could be a genius and on death row, and I don't think you'd be that finicky. Your selection is limited.
But I don't understand how she ever passed the bar, because she didn't seem all that swift to me either.
And
she
what did you say about the face the other day, my darling?
What?
And what are your profound moments? You said something about not paying too much attention to the face, but you...
Oh, you don't... That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean, if you were...
I used to say that in high school, honey.
That's another one we're going to put on the back of your statue out here in front of the building.
That's another one of those moments when I was proud. Proud to be the Mrs. You.
All right. I love you. I'll see you later.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was Dateline NBC. I'd like to find out more details. That guy is supposed to fry, like, tomorrow morning.
Well, that'll be a sad day for that woman. She won't be able to go visit him and sneak into the special, the connubial room or whatever they do, where they do it.
The judge walks in and goes, "What is that smell?" And the guy's like, "Forrest Gump."
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
All right, about cigars.
Yes.
Okay, I'm a big cigar lover.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this thing some night this week, a cigar aficionado.
Big smoke.
Bash.
Yeah.
Like a Star Trek convention for people with cigars.
Right.
Oh. So one of the sales guys offered us some free passes.
Huh.
So I know you're busy, but I'm going to go to this thing.
Yeah.
And I'd like to scream at someone who works for this magazine. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine is Cigar Aficionado, and it's a worthless magazine because it's full of big pictures of cigars. Mike, I buy the magazine, okay?
I know.
Please agree with me. It's a worthless magazine.
I can't. I love the magazine.
It's
I get
worthless.
Excited when it comes into my mailbox. It's like Steve Martin in The Jerk when I'm going, the new phone books are here. I go running up the driveway because I like it's fun. It's fun to read.
It's a worthless magazine. They rate cigars. Every cigar gets an outstanding rating.
Do you have the one with the Sylvester Stallone on it?
Yeah.
You want to read an article, read about him. I mean, he's right up there. He's right up there with Jerry.
And all the articles of the magazine are ass-kissy like that.
With Stephen Baldwin, did you ever see a guy look dumber in pictures?
Like his mobster pictures?
Yeah, when he's sitting there, every picture of him, he's like,
all right, so I get this magazine, and I'm into cigars, and I'm going to go to this big cigar Star Trek convention, but they've got a feature in this magazine. I got to bring it in tomorrow and read it to you. It is the equivalent of a Penthouse Letters to the Editor.
Yes, that's right.
And guys write letters that are pages long. I will give you, let me just summarize one. I was reading this last night, and I was just busting a gut laughing. The guy says, "Dear Cigar Aficionado, one night I had a tough day at work, blah, blah, blah. I came home from work, blah, blah, blah. My neighbor came over."
You're right about this. I can't argue. Yeah. I can't argue. I know where you're going with this.
And
you're absolutely right.
I mean, it goes on and on. I had a long day at work.
Yeah, it talks about how bad his life was and how bad things were going.
Right. My business was going under. I was having a real tough time. My neighbor came over, my next-door neighbor, and he said, "Hey, would you like a cigar?" And I said, "Sure," and he gave me a cigar. And I went inside and looked at it, and I saw that it was a Cuban Cohiba cigar. And then I thought, what do I do? Do I smoke it now? And I remember that Cigar Aficionado said that it's best to smoke a cigar when you're given a cigar as a gift. So I went out on the back porch, and for the next 2 hours, my neighbor and I got together. And we talked about life.
You're right.
And we talked about our hopes for the future.
You are absolutely right.
And as I smoked that cigar, I thought about all the pleasures God has given me in this great life. And I want to thank Cigar Aficionado for making my life a little more worthwhile. Except it's long and flowery.
Right.
And
in fact, most of the letters are exactly like that. A guy sharing an experience he had where a cigar made it all the better. And it's usually, people that discover they have cigars in common and the bomb.
Crap.
And then you have the pictures in the back of the magazine where all the guys are sitting there like next to their car that says, smoker or something with the guy.
All the guys with the personalized tags. Okay, here's another one.
I love it, though. I mean, I read that magazine all the time. You know how you say you're a TV guy in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Cigar Aficionado is my number one bathroom reader.
Dear Cigar Aficionado, my father and I have never been close. We always have trouble talking and relating one-on-one. Recently, he came to town to watch the 49ers game on television with me. We went into my favorite cigar bar and got a cigar. Oh, the rich, woody menthol. Guys writing about smoking a cigar like they're making love to it.
Yeah.
And then, 30 years of not being able to communicate, suddenly that day the light bulb goes off because they're both sucking on a cigar.
Did you read the one about the lady that was marrying the guy and she didn't get along with his father until they discovered that they both love cigars and now that she's
you can't
just
keep them apart.
She's his favorite person now.
Jive. I
cry when I read some.
I'm going to bring it in tomorrow because they print names and addresses. And tomorrow we're going to try to call some of those people to tell them to shut up.
Oh, God.
Okay? And I'm going to have to kick a little ass at this Cigar Aficionado party that I'm going to on Thursday night.
Oh, my God. Oh, what a shame I can't make this.
Set the record straight. See, there's a new generation of fellas that enjoy cigars.
I wanted to be out of the county when you're doing this.
I just like putting something big that's on fire in my mouth and sucking the smoke in. It's not like making love. You guys? You guys with your cigars?
I was down in a local restaurant
and having a terrible time at work and relaxing when suddenly I saw a friend from high school that I hadn't seen in weeks. Yeah.
And you know what? It's the equivalent of Dear Penthouse.
Yeah.
I got into the elevator, and the most beautiful girl in the world walked in.
That's right.
The doors shut, and the elevator wouldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Her blouse fell to the floor.
Naturally.
Suddenly, she reached down between her breasts and pulled out a Monte Cristo Robusto.
Hello, Donna, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you've seen the J.R. Cigars catalog.
No, what is that?
Oh, they sell mail-order cigars, and they get a lot of brands. They're real good prices, but he writes the funniest articles. He'll write about going to Nicaragua and attacked by huge mosquitoes and stuff. He writes stuff about, I don't know why you suckers would want to pay this for this cigar, but if you want, I got some. It's a riot.
Sounds like it, Mr. Clean.
Hmm?
I say, sounds like it, Mr. Clean.
Okay, well, it's 1-800-JR-CIGARS.
That's the rub. See, that's it. You're just
I'm not.
Sure you are.
You're just trying to give them a plug.
Tell the truth. And I've been to JR's. JR's down on the border, right?
J.R. Ewing?
Yeah.
How do you do, Jimmy? Jimmy, we got some great cigars here. I was standing by a light pole one day, and suddenly this beautiful blonde walked up and gave me a cigar. I said, ooh-wee. Good cigar. Good cigar, honey.
Genie.
Yeah, you hop in my car. We'll go for a drive and smoke this stogie.
I like cigars, but it's getting to the point now I hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many doofuses like cigars. It's like you pull one out, they go, hey, we can bond together now.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that.
I consider cigars kind of a private thing. I don't really dig. I mean, I know they're supposed to be social, but it's primarily in my car.
Well, I will bring that magazine in tomorrow, and we'll call those guys. And I hope we have as much fun as one time we got in tremendous trouble when we worked at the other station. Mm-hmm. When I was reading one of the letters to TV Guide, woman had some horse's ass view about something.
Right.
Like, I don't think that Fox should, like 10 years ago, it was like so 1950s, her sensibility. Right. Like I said, I can't
Was that TV Guide or Parade?
Mike, you're right. It was Parade Magazine.
Parade Magazine.
It was Parade Magazine, and I could not believe. Have you ever read the letters to the editor in Parade?
Sure. They're some of the wackiest ones.
They're like written by Forrest Gump. I couldn't believe it. So we called this woman up, but I guess at one point we didn't tell her that we were on the air.
Mm-hmm.
She got all mad and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they made us start telling people that they were on the air when we called.
That's when it all started, way back then.
Yeah, but that was a good call. I'd like to do that. So I'd like to bust some of these cigar aficionado letter writers, too. You know, these guys are romanticizing a tobacco leaf that you put in your mouth and smoke for about an hour.
Well, it's the moment. It's the sensuality of the moment and the rich tobaccos.
That's the crap that I don't buy. And I like cigars fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I like cigars.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's not like Bueno Arbusto. Nice. Boo.
But you can relate to the fact that occasionally you really enjoy the moment. Like when you've had a tough time and you've decided that you're going to steal away and have a moment and have a cigar.
That sounds to me like Calgon bath oil beads.
Well, it's in a similar way. It's like having a cigar break. Like if you go out on your deck and you smoke a cigar, it's the same thing.
International coffees for men.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I just like smoking.
Sure, well, that's what it is.
But I mean, I don't have to be melancholy about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's a good moment. It's a special moment. It's a fun time for you. It's
every moment is a good moment, though.
No, there are bad moments and there are good moments.
Well, no, I like cigars. They're not romantic.
You don't like the letters. You don't like to hear people writing about it.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I'm looking forward to going to that cigar show Thursday night to set some people straight.
At least you can both agree on long ashes.
All right, now we have the number of HBO. Very quickly, let's call them up and see if we can get a hold of Gary Shandling.
Okay.
To ask him if, in fact, Jerry Lewis would not allow him to take his picture with him.
Very good. Because if that's true, it just confirms everything we've always said about Jerry Lewis. Call me first.
I know we won't get Gary Shandling here because this is a 212 and that's New York City, right? New York City. You guys missed your cue. Right?
New York City!
maybe they can give us a comment.
You have reached the corporate headquarters of Home Box Office. All of our lines are currently busy. Please hold, and the next available operator will be happy to help you.
Stop running Revenge of the Nerds.
Or what's that other one that they run?
Stop running Vice Versa.
Oh, man, I wish I could name Short Circuit.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. That's the one with the robot, right?
God, they must have some kind of contract with that.
Yeah.
I hate the one with Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold, where the father and the son drink the special potion and they each become each other.
It's awful.
You have
have reached the corporate...
Hey, but for my money, you could never go wrong running Iron Eagle 4.
Please hold.
Which they run on HBO every day.
Is that... they still have Lou Gossett Jr. in them?
He's been there for 1, 2, 3, and 4. Oh. And please, do something about that Tracy Ullman. So many things I like to say to HBO.
Yeah.
HBO. Oh, here's the L.A. number. Okay, thank you, Charlie.
All right, this is a chance to confirm this. Jerry said to Larry. What did Jerry say to Larry? What did Larry say to Jerry? And was it scary?
Jerry, and he's
scary. Afternoon, home box office.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now. Can we talk to somebody about Gary Shandling?
One moment, please.
They have a whole department for that.
Thank you, Nurse Ballbricker.
Sounds tired, doesn't she? One moment, please.
Thank you for holding. Let me give you their production office number.
Okay.
It's area code 818.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Goodbye. What was the area code?
818.
818.
All right. Hey, now. We should ask for Hank Kingsley.
Kingsley!
We've had that guy on our show a couple of times.
Jeffrey Tambor.
He's good.
Yeah.
So the story is...
Larry Sanders.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now.
Hold on 1 second, please.
See, that's the kiss of death. That's why I don't like telling people they're on the air.
Yeah.
It'd be so much better if you could just talk to them for a while, and then, like, at the end of the call, say, oh, yeah, you were on the air.
Hey, listen to this nice music.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. We were wondering if we could get a some kind of a verification here. We're reading a story in the newspaper today that Gary Shandling wanted to get his picture taken with Jerry Lewis.
I can't comment on anything like that.
And Jerry Lewis wouldn't let him do it because Gary Shandling didn't call him to...
Oh, that's that.
Oh, my.
You, sir, are an idiot.
What's up with that? What's up? What's up with that?
He didn't want to comment on it.
All right, hold on. Let me give him a little Aaron.
Aaron will get through.
Aaron Spelling.
Aaron gets through to everybody.
What's Hank Kingsley's real name?
Jeffrey Tambor.
Okay, it's ringing again.
They mustn't be in good moods because they're working. You know how they hate to work on that show.
Hello, Jeffrey Tambor, please. Tambor. He's on the Larry Sanders Show. This is Aaron Spelling. Thank you.
There you go.
It's a name that commands instant respect.
Yeah. Bingo.
This is Aaron Spelling. He's on the Sanders Show.
Aaron.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh, I got that. Thanks. He just gave me the same number that the guy at HBO gave me.
Good. Now Aaron will talk to that other guy.
8187.
That other guy. Who is this guy?
Okay, make sure it's ringing.
Okay, there you go. Very good. And here we go, off the air.
It would be great to do these calls, but you have to tell them they're on the air.
Yeah.
Especially when you're Aaron.
Well, now I got a machine.
Mm. Well, that's not right.
What's up with that? Oh, God.
We're going to try again.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone talks to Aaron Spelling.
This is Aaron Spelling. Is he behind the new Love Boat?
Yes.
Yes.
He is? Okay, good.
With Robert Urich.
Jeffrey Tambor, please. Mr. Spelling.
Did you call the Larry Sanders show?
Yeah, they picked up Larry Sanders. Now I'm hearing that great music on hold that you thought was so great. That 20s flapper music.
Good music to have a nice cigar break and bond. And commune with nature.
He just left.
How about Gary?
Is there any way you could stop him at the gate? This is Mr. Aaron Spelling. Thank you.
Oh,
I think he tried to stop
just
him
a moment,
the gate.
Mr. Spelling.
He couldn't try to stop him at the gate. He said he just drove out.
He drove out. He's cruising home after a day of taping the show.
He's going to want to hear from us. Hey, Hank Kingsley.
Kingsley!
It's us, the guys who know Hank Kingsley's birthday on the show. Hey, now.
What do you want? We're all very angry we've been working.
It's the debut of Hank's Hot Potato. He just left.
Mm.
Is he going home? Do you know where he's going? Can you leave him a note Aaron Spelling called? Sure, I'm in 818. 7 7 7 877. That's my private number. Is Gary there? Yes.
You're going to get Gary for you?
Yeah. Who knows what number I just gave out?
Oh, Lord.
Now they're getting shambling.
I should have asked for Rip Torn. I'd rather talk to Rip Torn. I think Rip Torn would be much more open to a,
well,
to
you
a
never
call
know.
From disc jockeys.
You never know with Gary.
Well, besides, we want to ask him about that thing with Jerry Lewis.
If Jerry Lewis was, you know, an a-hole to him.
Why do people respect Aaron Spelling so much?
Because he's a powerful showbiz icon, Don.
Money and power.
This is Aaron Spelling. Have you seen my daughter? Tori.
Tori.
Tori, Tori, Tori.
And they respect the fact that you have the New York accent for Aaron Spelling when he's from Texas.
Haven't any of these people ever met the real Aaron Spelling?
Well, that's why you're getting through to these people. That's why you get through so quickly.
Aaron Spelling. Well, hold now. Do you think somebody, and you know what a pain in the ass Gary Shandling is.
Yeah. Right.
Someone goes back and interrupts him when
he's all lazy. One.
He's eating a cheese sandwich. Hello? Hey, Gary, hold on, please. Okay. All right, now what do we do now?
Oh, tell him he's on the air.
Well, no, I can't. Oh, he's hearing this on hold right now.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Well.
Rob, tell him who we are. Tell him why we're calling. Tell him it's not really Aaron Spelling.
Hello?
Oh, he's gone.
Gone.
He's gone like the wind.
Oh, bummer.
Wow.
What did he say?
He said, hey, yeah, Aaron, it's Gary. I swear to God he did.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God he did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Well, then you're kind of stuck.
You are kind of stuck.
I would have had more balls if his voice was on the air, if you could have heard him. But when it's just a one-on-one conversation.
Oh, my God. Aaron gets through.
How about that?
Aaron, the magic of Aaron.
Wow.
And, yeah, because I said, hello, who's this? It's Gary. Hey, Aaron, it's Gary. Hey, what am I supposed to say? Hey, Gary, listen, I'm really a disc jockey who just tried to call to find out if you were able to get your picture taken with Jerry Lewis or not.
God.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, well, let's keep that between us, okay?
All right. We'll never speak of this again.
Be very, very quiet.
Quiet on that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I wish I wasn't such a fraidy cat.
He was calling
and maybe that was him.
Okay. It was that you were very, very afraid.
We're up on a break, and hey now, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
May I help you?
Yes. This is not the best breakfast I ever ate, and I'd like my money back.
Okay. I believe you have to fill out a form for that.
No. I'd like my money back now.
I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You see, I have to fill out a form, and, well, you ate most of it already, so...
You see that sign? It says 100% guaranteed. You know what the meaning of guarantee is? Did they teach you that here?
Sir, if you just wait a minute...
Look, just put your little hand back in the cash register and give me my $2.75 back, please, Brad.
Sir, if you just give me a minute, I'll find the forms. I'll take care of everything.
I don't have a minute. You've made me late enough. I am so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Now, I'll give you your choice here. Something about Streisand, Streisand and Brolin.
Streisand!
Or something about Elvis.
Right.
Always good talking about Elvis.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Or I could read you one of these letters from Cigar Aficionado.
Oh, what a nice choice that is. I want to hear about Elvis, because I know you were talking about this when I came in today.
Okay. It's in the paper today, a big half-page ad that they are selling a shotgun, a rifle, not a shotgun, a rifle that has Elvis's name and Elvis's picture on it.
Oh, man, handguns and Elvis. You were waiting for this marriage to happen. It finally occurred.
With only 1,000 rifles available in this first-ever firearm honoring Elvis.
Yee-haw!
It's about time. Its anticipated demand will be high. With his tremendous talent, good looks, and sensual style, Elvis changed music. This museum-quality Elvis tribute is the first firearm ever authorized by Elvis Presley Estate, a rifle that we believe Elvis would have admired. Known as the rifle that won the West, the Winchester Model 94 was Elvis's choice.
There you go.
like what when he's sitting in his backyard and trying to shoot out
light bulbs, those little flash bulbs.
Yeah, flash bulbs.
Oh, those were BB guns, Don.
Right.
Order now and receive one case of jelly.
So here in the ad, they've got in brass on the top by the barrel band, it says Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you got a picture of, like, the comeback Elvis, the Hawaii show.
There it is.
And then there's a little thing of Graceland.
That's right, like on the metal part of the gun.
And then right down here where you put your hand when you cock the gun.
Sure.
There's young Elvis's face. And to really entice you to order this, here's a real picture of Elvis holding a gun.
Elvis, well, we know for a fact how much Elvis loved firearms.
How come I didn't know that someday they would name a gun after me?
If only I could have seen what was happening to me.
If only I could have seen
something about it. My marriage was falling apart. Priscilla and I were hardly ever together, and even when we were. Well,
thank God I have my guns.
If only they had named a gun after me then.
My boy, my boy.
All right, let's call and see what the deal is. It's one of those things where you have to pay many, many payments.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to reserve however many guns you want at the advance issue price of $1,850.
Oh!
Ooh,
wow.
You can go to any major metropolitan city and buy a gun for 1/50th of the price on any corner in most cities that we broadcast from.
Yeah, but you won't get all that Elvis engraving on there with the King of Rock and Roll.
It only cost you a Benjamin. All right, $1,850.
How did I know that they were going to sell it for that exorbitant price?
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Yeah.
Deposit of $225 per rifle is enclosed. I wish to pay the balance of 13 payments of $125 a month.
Wow. Man, that's a hell year.
This is something that reeks of something my brother would get.
Oh, yes.
And this would be a choice that my brother would have. Car payment, about $150 a month.
Uh-huh.
Elvis gun payment, $125 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You'd make the Elvis gun payment and then go out and buy a bunch of bad food with the extra $25.
Dear manufacturer, I have worshipped the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Aaron Presley, for many years. And now you have combined the king with one of my other loves, the love of firearms. Thank ye.
Listen, I don't know how much guns cost, but isn't that expensive as guns go?
America Remembers, may help you.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now. We were wondering if you had any information about the Elvis Presley rifle.
Okay, what kind of information do you need?
Well, what kind of bullets does it use?
Okay, it's a 30-30 Winchester, and let me get you that information.
Very good.
A 30-30 Winchester, what does that mean? I guess that means it shoots real bullets. Now I'm telling you right now, you get off my property, or I'm going to take my Elvis rifle, and I'm going to put a hole in you. Thank ye.
Thank ye. But if you had a gun that nice,
yeah, you wouldn't want to shoot it.
You wouldn't want to take it out and get it all dirty, would you, right?
Unless Robert Goulet was on TV. Then you might use it.
Look, it's Robert Goulet.
La-da-da.
Boom, boom, boom.
My boy, my boy.
That'll be enough of that S. The right side of the receiver has an image of Elvis enjoying the solitude of Graceland. Beside this image is another portrait of Elvis performing from his Hawaii satellite TV special.
Wow.
Both scenes are bordered in elegant scroll work.
I thought the decanter was bad.
On the left side of the receiver, an incredibly detailed portrait of Elvis. I'm looking at it now. It looks like someone drew it with their fingernail. Surrounded by gold records and elegant scroll work. Under his portrait, a banner proclaims,
"Hi, this is Steve. Maybe I can help you."
The King of Rock and Roll. Steve, hi. This is Don and Mike.
Hi, Steve.
And
hi.
We're doing a national radio show right now, and we were wondering if you had any information about the Elvis gun.
We think it's a match made in heaven, Elvis and firearms.
Uh-huh.
Elvis loved guns.
Yes, indeed.
You know that at one time, not with a real rifle, but with a BB gun, Elvis shot out something like 600 flash bulbs in his pool.
Yeah, they used them like decoys, and they floated them in Elvis's pool, and they just had a great time because each time they'd shoot them, they'd go off, and the flash bulbs would go off. That wasn't a 30-30. That was a BB gun.
And Elvis was so lazy that he didn't want to take the time to reload the BB guns, so all the guys in his mafia, they would just keep handing him fully loaded guns so he could keep shooting at the pool.
Do you have any Elvis ammo, like with Elvis's face on the bullets?
What gave you the idea to, and a great idea today, don't get me wrong, you're going to make a lot of money selling a gun with Elvis's picture on it. What gave you that idea?
Just the history that he has with firearms and the collecting that he did with firearms.
Yeah, he was a big gunman.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a special gun? Does it really fire and everything?
Yes. It's a fully functional Winchester Model 94.
Model 94. Can you put a lot of bullets in it so you don't have to waste time loading? Because, you know, Elvis hated that part of guns. He liked to have lots of bullets in one gun and just fire and fire and fire.
It's just a standard lever action Winchester.
How many of these babies do you expect to sell, sir?
Well, the edition limit is 4,000. Hopefully we'll sell 1,000.
How many have you sold so far?
The ad just came out today. It was a small sampling ad in USA Today.
Yeah.
Quarter page. That's a nice size ad.
We noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
So have you gotten many calls today?
Several.
Several. Have you sold any of the guns?
Several.
Are you going to keep one for yourself?
We normally keep a prototype here, yes.
Your prototype at the Winchester factory?
No, we aren't part of the Winchester factory.
Mm-hmm.
Our agreement was with Graceland and...
Is that why you don't have a picture of purple bloated Elvis on the gun? I noticed that it's young Elvis, and it's the Elvis from the comeback special.
Tried to pick the portraits of him that were most representative of the music and the style that people are familiar with.
If this takes off, do you think you might market something that I think would even be better, an Elvis handgun?
He had some really beautiful hand-engraved handguns.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if...
Those were the ones that he used to shoot out his TV with.
Look, E, Robert Goulet. Boom. What about a hand grenade named after his pet monkey, Scatter?
There's a twist.
Right, yeah. I'll give you a chance to get a commercial here on national radio for your product. Are you up for that? If you can answer an Elvis trivia question, I'll give you a free commercial.
I know a little bit about Elvis, but I'm
okay, well, you can take a guess.
Maybe you can guess.
You get lucky, you get a free commercial, you know, with 4 million listeners.
All right, I got my fingers crossed for you.
Okay.
At the time of his death, what was the weight of Elvis's colon?
I don't know, a pound?
Oh. A pound. Oh.
No.
I'm sorry.
You were way off.
It was impacted. It was chalky. We've heard anywhere from 40 to 60. Our official guess on the show is 40 pounds.
40 pounds, so you were 39 pounds off.
I was a little light, I guess, then, eh?
Yeah. All right. Well, no commercial for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
But thanks for your time, and best of luck selling the Elvis gun.
Thank you much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, can you imagine?
I have my two loves together now. Elvis and a beautiful firearm.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
No kidding, Elvis. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, do you know they're racing the Elvis car this weekend in Las Vegas?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Sir, I saw it on TV.
Who's the sponsor?
I'm not sure. It says, all I saw was on the back, it says, Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, man.
Maybe it has something to do with, like, with the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce or something. I hope Elvis is pretty faced as they get crashed in the wall. I hope nobody bumps up against Elvis.
On the front of the thing.
There it is.
If that happened.
With a piece of duct tape hanging on it.
If that happened, the driver, I'm sure, could get some goodies. Headache powders.
Out of powders.
Powders.
Sponsored by Graceland.
Yeah. Sponsored by Graceland?
NASCAR driver Rusty Wallace will be racing one of them, yes, in Las Vegas on March 1st. He's a number one driver.
You the man.
He's a number one driver driving a car that's based on number two.
You know, the only thing to make that car better is he put a gun rack up and hung that Elvis Winchester up there.
What's wrong with people?
All right, I got my Elvis. Mama, I got my Winchester 3030 with Elvis carved on.
And I guarantee you there will be people like my brother, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
who will not pay their phone bill,
right.
their rent, mm-hmm. their electricity, but you bet
right.
they've got their Elvis guns.
I'm actually living in a tent now, but if you look over at the wall, I've got my Elvis revolver.
Where's my Jilly?
Jilly!
Jilly.
Does it shoot jelly bullets?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Mm. Then you can shoot at your friends and they can catch it in their mouth and have plenty of jelly.
Hello, Don, my show.
Hello.
Jelly bullets.
Hello.
The only thing make that gun better if it shot jelly bullets.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, this is Chuck Ed. I went to another bad cell and got dropped.
What, Chuck?
I was in Percival and then I was in Murrayville and wanted to know if Don was going to talk about Dan Wilkerson.
Will you give me a travelog here, sir?
Wow, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
What? Turn down your radio.
Okay, hang on now.
Sounds like you're in a good cell now.
Yeah, I am.
Call back when you know better, so. I'm glad the Redskins got Big Daddy from Cincinnati. I think he's a good player.
Big Daddy.
Hello?
Darn Mike.
Yeah, Bob.
Video Gods from Las Vegas here.
Hi there.
Hey, John Force, the funny car driver, is also going to unveil his Elvis car in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace on Saturday also.
That's true.
What, are they running low of money at Graceland? I mean, haven't they already licensed out every Elvis product that you possibly could come up with?
You got to love them at Graceland. They love that kind of stuff.
Well, John Force was doing it because I guess when he was in Memphis last time he raced and he caught on fire, he said he was about the 1,000-foot mark of the track and he saw Elvis because his car was on fire.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me,
yeah.
I might have done something about it.
That was a black and yellow dragster with hunka-hunka burning on the back and Elvis's face on the front.
God. I told you, you can't have the Elvis gun. I already let you sign up for the Chocolate Pie of the Month Club.
The Elvis Presley Racing Team, sponsored by Fleet Enemas. Hello?
Yeah, it's Scott from Greenville.
Hello, Scott. You're on the air.
How's it going, man?
Hey, buddy.
I'm one of the people that gave up my car to get the little Rusty Wallace Elvis car.
You're what?
I'm one of the people that gave up my car so I could get me one of the little action Rusty cars with Elvis on the hood.
How much did that set you back?
$59.
Wow.
So you bought like a toy NASCAR that has Elvis on it?
Exactly.
All right, good.
Is Rusty Wallace a big Elvis fan? Is that why?
Yeah, you know, rock and roll, Rusty, Elvis, they all go together.
All right, well, do you play with your Elvis car? Do you, like, sit in the living room and go, brr, brr, brr. Elvis driving to McDonald's. Brr. Elvis driving to Donuts. Brr.
Mama, set up a jelly obstacle course. Just get little jars of jelly, and I'll try to drive my Elvis car around them. This is great fun.
Hello, Don.
Got a gun here yet?
And Mike Show, hello.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, thanks.
Hey, who am I speaking to?
This is Don and Mike. Who do you think you're speaking to?
Hey, man. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Lay off the southern guy, all right? Like Neil Young said, we don't need y'all around.
Hey, listen, change the station.
Time for sitting in front of the friggin' TV watching Hogan's Heroes. So leave the stock car people on.
Why don't you just change the station if you don't like the show, you jackass?
Hey, I got your jackass.
Hey, you're a redneck hillbilly, too.
Huh?
You're a redneck hillbilly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. That's what your mama told me. Your mama told me with her DSL.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone. He didn't want to smoke peace pipe.
For goodness sakes.
What a shame.
What's wrong with people? Send that man some jelly.
You know, we make fun of everybody on this show. Come on now. We like jelly. We only talk about jelly because we like jelly.
I'd love to give away jelly on this show.
Oh, man, can you imagine that? Big? And can we give, like, the big
big tubs?
You know the kind you get at Price Club? Huge, big tubs of jelly.
Yeah.
Pork things of jelly. So you can use it every day on everything. Pork chops.
Hello, jelly sandwiches.
Jelly sandwiches. Just jelly. And sometimes you just want jelly. Just smear it on your hand. Lick it off.
Hello.
Jelly.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Good. My buddy, Don and Mike Bowles.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I hear Dennis Murphy's doing something for you all.
Yes, Tom. Dennis Murphy is my number one friend.
What's he going to be doing for you?
You should listen to the show, Tom.
I am listening.
Well, you missed it. Dennis is getting his own weekend show here at the station, Tom.
Why can I?
You can't.
Why?
Dennis is our favorite person, and that's why we're letting him have a show.
What's he going to be doing? What kind of show is he going to be doing?
You know, a little rap, a little music, a little love talk. You know, all the things Dennis is real good at.
I can do the same thing.
No, thanks, Tom.
Dennis is coming down here. They're going to take his picture, and we're going to put it up on the wall here.
Tom, you're a second-rate Dennis Murphy.
Guess what? Guess what? I got my picture on.
You're a Dennis Murphy wannabe, Tom Gavin.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are, Tom.
I got my picture on the Wall of Fame at Channel 10.
Congratulations, Tom.
That's you must be very thrilled.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that doesn't amuse me the way that Dennis Murphy's stories of whimsy do.
Guess what?
You got to come up with some new bits, Tom.
Like new bits?
Yeah, new bits.
Yeah, new characters.
New characters like Elmer Fudd and...
Elmer Fudd would be a nice new character. Could we hear that?
Yes. Hello, this is Elmer Fudd and...
That sounds just like the parrot.
Who's another character?
And Elmer Fudd.
No, do another character besides the parrot and Elmer Fudd. Do a new one.
That's all funny, yo. That's not right, yeah.
People say to me, Don, why were you upset when your son was in the hospital and... Tom Gavin called your son's room. Why were you upset? He's just a fan of the show.
I'm just a fan of the show.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Tom. Bye, buddy.
And hi, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
All right, gotta go, Tommy.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Later.
Oh, my God.
There he is, our number one fan, Thomas Aloysius Gavin. With that, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Becoming a father, huh?
Yeah.
We've been waiting over 3 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How about you?
About a month.
A month? That's all?
Well, I'm something of a famous radio personality. I guess that greased the wheels a little.
Bill's a plumber.
Hey, my name's Bill, too.
Well, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, sure we do.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, Jingle Boy, who as far as we know is a young man who's being... Well, did you see the movie Ransom with Mel Gibson? Young boy is being held in his basement somewhere, and his mommy has duct-taped him to the chair, and she feeds him lots of Robitussin and makes him sing stupid show songs.
Yeah, we've gotten lots of tapes from Jingle Boy.
Tunes.
It has been a long time since the last time we heard from Jingle Boy, and we were a little concerned because right after we started exposing what we thought was going on, that's when we lost contact with Jingle Boy.
Right. Originally, he came to our attention when... His mom made him sing a song about Frank Gifford having an affair with the stewardess.
Yes.
And then there was maybe a Christmas song.
Jingle Boy, my dear. You fear, whatever it was.
Yeah. They're real bad. And then out of the blue, we got this one. And it's the Jingle Boy tribute to the Titanic.
This is the stage mom from hell. I bet she's on the tape, too.
Okay, here we go.
When the bad ship... Titanic hit an iceberg so gigantic. The captain said,
"This poor kid.
By golly, we're as good as dead."
What?
The ship filled with water.
Why is she trying to make him Shirley Temple?
I worry about this boy. I hope she doesn't dress him like Buster Brown.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, Ruffles.
That's what I'm picturing with this one.
Big lollipop. I love you, Mommy.
Sing. Meanwhile, she's like doing all the lyrics at the piano.
And that's the way to go. Oh, this kid should be out playing ball.
Absolutely.
He should be watching TV.
I tell you, he's going to be 13 and be right in the medicine cabinet.
The next Sam Harris. Sam Harris Jr. Oh, bravo.
Very nice.
Who knows what he was singing? Excuse me.
Jingle Boy, my dear. I've written a song about the Titanic because it's timely and hot. Now get in there and rehearse.
All right, let me try to call.
Oh, God.
Jingle Boy's mom at work.
Oh, no. She's at it again.
We've tried to expose her in the past.
Maybe it was just a drought of ideas.
Yeah.
And then finally, the Titanic got hot.
Now sing, boy.
Sing.
Mommy, I'm hungry. Sing.
Sing as if your life depended on it.
We're sorry. What? Your call did not go through.
All right, let me try this line.
Hey, looking to see...
What?
What number are we at now?
What number are we at? Oh, you're still calling for the contest?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been on the forklift for a while.
Oh, gotcha. Where are you calling from?
Wichita.
Forklift man. Forklift man.
Forklift man.
Yeah, no, we gave that away. Keep listening.
All righty, bud.
Okay, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Farmer Body.
I'd love to run a forklift. Yeah.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello. I just moved to Atlanta, and I was wondering if the guys are on down here.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
I don't know. somewhere in Georgia.
Yeah. Athens, Georgia? Are we still on in Athens, Georgia?
I don't know. Listen, who knows? Hello, Donna Mike Show. You know, they come and they go.
We used to be on in Augusta, Georgia, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to be on in a lot of places.
If we counted the places we used to be on.
Yeah.
That's part of the biz.
Yeah. Gotta see if the show sticks. Now, what's wrong with this line?
Ow.
Nothing.
No, Mommy. Mommy. No, please, Mommy, dearest. Don't do that to me. Sing, boy. Sing.
And it's always some little show tune thing.
Oh, and about the show and how the radio business works in a couple of cities that we're hoping to come back to very soon.
Thank you.
In one of those cities that we've recently had to leave, we now have three stations who are bidding against each other.
Good.
For the show. And two stations bidding in another big southern city.
Excellent.
Hello, is this Helen?
Yes, it is.
Helen, this is Don and Mike. And
hi, Don and Mike.
We are concerned about your son, and you're on the air.
Helen!
Hello.
Hello, stage mommy dearest.
Hi.
Well, we've received this, Helen.
When the bad ship, the Titanic, hit an iceberg.
Why are you doing that to that kid?
Let the boy have a normal life, for God's sake. Let him be out. Get out there and play stickball.
How come you're making your boy sing these songs?
He's been doing a stand-up comedy in New York City.
Oh, God.
He has all these different characters.
Who drives him into New York City? It's you, isn't it?
No, we actually take a train in.
You take a train, but you go with him, don't you?
Of course.
And you're backstage when he's performing.
No, I'm out in the audience.
Oh, God, same thing.
You're not the audience, but I'm sure you're there. You're right by. Listen, we're concerned. Helen, we're concerned about Jingle Boy. We really are. It's like you send us the tape about Frank Gifford.
You have a little room for him, like down in the basement where you know you keep him chained?
Nah.
Then you send us all the Christmas tapes, and now this out of the blue. Seems like you're just trying to cash in on whatever the hot fad of the moment is. And you write up one of these little ditties, and then you bring him over, and you say, you know, if you want your dinner, you'll sing this song for me.
Sing, boy, sing.
Right.
How have you been, Mommy Dearest?
We've been doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how's Jingle Boy?
He's great.
And really?
How old is he now, and are you giving him any medication to keep his voice from changing?
No, he's 12 years old.
Oh, boy. 12 years old.
12. Would there be any way that we could talk to the boy?
He's going to be in here in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes he's coming into your office?
Yeah.
How about we call you back?
Okay.
We'd love to interview him.
Okay, then.
We'd just like to find out how much of this is being done with his free will.
Okay. He'll be here in 10 minutes.
Like this Titanic song. That, here it is again. Here you go. Let's listen to a minute. I have a question about this song, Helen.
When the bad ship, the Titanic, hit an iceberg so gigantic, the captain said, "By golly, we're as good as dead."
All right, here's the question. Did you write that piece of music?
We did it together.
And of course you did it together. Yes, as you were, you know, did you have your hands handcuffed together?
Nah.
See, Helen, you know, no offense, we have a tough time believing that a normal, well-adjusted 12-year-old kid, you know, unless he's Rosie O'Donnell's kid, would...
She lives down the street.
Well,
she does.
Oh,
now, this sounds to me like a tape that you would hear of Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, my son, listen to the tape my son made. He loves Broadway.
Put him on the Rosie show.
Rosie. You know, but with Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, I could understand it.
Yeah.
Okay, but Helen, as far as I know...
Have you ever seen Rosie O'Donnell, like, in person?
Yeah,
Helen?
She's here. She walks around town all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a scary lady, Helen?
No.
And Jingle Boy loves his mommy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Tell me,
very close.
Helen, tell me what kind of unfulfilled dreams you had as a young girl. Had you wanted to be a performer yourself?
I was. I did. I put myself through college with stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And did you have dreams of, being an actress someday?
No. I just wanted to be a listening, WJFK listener.
Meanwhile, you live where?
In Nyack, New York.
Nyack, New York. Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, she's a networker.
Okay. So, you claim that you and your son write the songs together.
Yeah.
Yet, you tell us that you had a failed musical career of your own.
No. I was a music major.
Is it not true, Helen, that you are forcing your failed dreams on this boy's trampled psyche?
No.
By forcing him to wear these frilly outfits, by forcing him to sing these silly songs. Most boys want to be, you know what? Introduce that kid to Nintendo. Go buy him a nice Big Mac. Let him hang at the mall.
See, in Joan Crawford's case, she went out and chopped down the rose bushes. You see, what you're doing is, this is how you're venting.
Take that boy to Discovery Zone. Put him in that big ball cage.
He's an all-star ball player. He's, you know, He's involved in a lot of things.
Oh, yes, he's involved right now. He's down in the basement, chained to the bed.
He's outside playing basketball right now.
So you say, Helen.
Yes, so you say. You know something, Helen? We're taking your word for it, aren't we?
Well, I'll tell you what. He'll be here in about 4 more minutes. You can ask him.
Oh, you know, then you'll be standing right over him with that big ruler.
I swear to God I won't.
Well, he's right downstairs. Go get him right now.
I'll go. Well, he's outside playing basketball. I'll get him. Give me 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Hurry, Helen.
Okay.
Get on your broom.
Run, Helen, run.
Hurry.
There goes Helen.
Who knows?
Oh, man.
Jingle boy, the radio station's on. Get up here.
Mommy, I don't want to sing the Titanic song.
Come on now, where we won't have waffles for dinner.
I think she always calls him Jingle Boy instead of his real name.
Probably. Yeah, and then she throws in that little WJFK, our station in Washington, when we know she lives in Nyack, New York.
Right, she lives on the Rochester, New York station, I think.
Wow.
On WHTK. She works at a cosmetic company. Helen does. I got her business card right here. That's how we tracked her down.
Jingle Boy playing basketball, now with his Buster Brown outfit on. And his Dutch boy haircut.
Look, Mommy.
In the battleship.
All right.
Titanic.
Let me give you a little background. Here's a little background. This is like maybe the third or fourth tape that we received from them, where she had him read a statement at the beginning of the tape saying that he was not making these songs of anything but his own free will.
Right. Hi, Don and Mike. This is Jingle Boy's mother, Helen. I received your message on my voicemail, and I just wanted to clear up any misconception that you both may have that I am a pushy showbiz mother. I am not one of these pushy parents living through their children. Oh, no. Jingle Boy loves to sing. He really wants to be a star, and he wants to do this all by himself.
Well, listen, let me break into that from our archives, because I believe... Hello?
Hello?
Helen?
We've got the poor boy on the phone now. Jingle Boy, is this you?
Yes, it's me.
Okay, Mom, would you hang up the phone, please, Helen?
Mom, my mom's not on the phone.
She not on the other extension?
No, there was only one.
All right, and where is she right now in the room, son?
She's right across from me.
Is she staring at you, Jingle Boy?
No, she's doing her work.
She's doing her work.
Does Mom tell you what songs to sing and when you'll see them? Sing them?
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's like the Titanic song, like this song right here. This is you, right?
When the
right. Like when you're making that song.
When I was making that song, she didn't tell me when to. I would say, well, she like would say, okay, now we have to practice, and then I would practice.
So she'd tell you when the practice time
was. Now we have to practice. Uh-huh.
All right. Do you have to perform these songs before you're fed?
No.
No, you do this on your own free will?
Yeah.
Does Mommy make you put on shows all the time?
No.
So she's treating you well, Jingle Boy?
Yes, she is.
And she's a good mother?
Oh, yeah.
Were you really out playing basketball?
Yep.
Really? How many points do you get for a basket?
How many points do I get for a basket?
Yes,
in a real game.
2.
All right, very good.
Okay, we're just testing. We want to make sure everything's all right.
Who was a cartoon? Who was a cartoon star who starred with Michael Jordan in his movie?
Bugs Bunny.
All right, very good.
Okay, that means you've seen that movie.
Yes.
Well, she let you out of the house for that?
Oh yeah.
All right,
very good.
Who's your favorite member of The Simpsons?
Bart.
Okay, he knows The Simpsons.
What? Let me ask you this: if you're doing a math problem and you have an exclamation point, what does that mean?
That means the teacher's trying to make you laugh.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
Not what I learned yesterday. But that's
his showbiz take on it.
Oh, I gotcha. No, that's factorials. My son, who doesn't sing or dance, learned that in his school last week.
So, Jingle Boy, you're enjoying life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay, good. Well, listen, son, we're just concerned. We want to make sure that these tapes that your mommy is sending us are tapes that you want us to have.
Yeah, of course I want you guys to have it.
Okay, well, then I guess we accept it and we say thank you.
Okay.
Okay, how's that stand-up career going, son?
Good.
Good.
Can you give us a little of your stand-up material?
Okay.
All right, great.
I love New York because people in New York argue with their dogs in the street. I was on West 53rd and 7th Avenue, and I saw this guy go to his dog.
Brainwashed. This kid
How many
is brainwashed.
Times did you not to do that? You know, what's your choice? I would like to hear the dog say, I don't know, 300, 400 times. I don't know. I was at my friend's house the other day, and they got this new German Shepherd puppy.
Yeah.
Took a big right on the carpet. My friend comes running in, and he goes, "Who did that?" I looked at the dog, and the dog looked at me, and I felt bad for the dog, so I said, "I did it." So my friend hit me in the head with a newspaper.
Well,
bravo, way to go, Jingle Boy.
Oh, I get it. I get joke.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Jingle Boy, and good luck with your stand-up comedy.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with sports.
Okie dokie.
Keep a boy out of court.
All right.
You like girls?
Sometimes.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Who's a really hot girl, do you think? Who's a hot girl?
You mean like on TV or something?
Yeah, of course.
A girl?
Yeah. Who's the hottest girl on TV?
I don't know.
I'm just giving you a test here.
I have no idea.
Oh, dear.
Really?
Yep. Mm.
Do you like Buffy?
I've never seen it.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
How about in your school? Is there a particular girl that's really good-looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name?
Lauren. Everybody says she's the most prettiest girl in the whole entire school.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yep.
Would you like to kiss her?
Please don't tempt me.
Please don't tempt me.
Show business is in this boy's blood.
Yeah. All right, son. Well, as long as mommy is not locking you up in a shed somewhere.
We just wanted to check. You know, we always like to check on your welfare. We sometimes think your mommy's forcing you to do those songs.
Okay.
You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, put your mommy on. I want to give her a prize.
Okay. Here, Mom.
I want to give you a prize.
Yeah.
Can I stop twisting his arm now?
Yeah. We're going to send you a cucumber with our best wishes based on something that happened yesterday on the show. We're going to give all the special ladies in our life their very own cucumbers.
And I found out from Buzz yesterday that it was an error when I said a cucumber was a vegetable. It's actually a fruit.
It is a fruit.
It's a fruit.
Really?
Yes, and so is a nectarine.
All right, well, there you go. Jingle Boy's mom. Oh, I had one last question for him.
Yes. Oh, here he is.
One last question, and I'll be done with the Inquisitor. Hey, Jingle Boy?
Yeah?
Could you please just describe the creamy flavor of NyQuil to me?
NyQuil?
How does NyQuil taste?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had it.
Probably not knowingly.
Robitussin?
No, he's been brainwashed, but.
Well, Jingle Boy, good luck. That's all we can say to you.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, nice talking to you guys, too.
All right, stay outside.
Okie dokie, bye.
Don't forget, 911.
Put mommy back on the phone.
Okay, here she is. Hey.
Well, Helen.
When the bad ship
I guess we won't turn you over to the authorities this time, Helen.
Thank you, guys.
You've outfoxed us again.
That's right. Just remember, Helen, we're watching you.
Okay.
Take care of that boy.
Thank you a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Keep him away from Rosie's kids.
I will. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
Oh, man. Bye-bye. Wow. You know, this particular case might be a good idea for Mom to let him go to an R-rated movie.
Oh, God. Hey, Jingle Boy. Jingle Boy, check it in.
Yeah.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, Donnie, how about this during those NASCAR races? They just release a deer out onto the track at random times.
Hey, that's a beautiful idea. That is a beautiful idea. I'm going to applaud that idea myself, sir.
You know, we do have that exploding deer population problem. You can combine two of America's first loves.
So you put a deer out every 50 laps. Mm-hmm. You let a deer go. Fantastic. And let it roam in the pit area.
Dick Trickle's coming right around Rusty Wallace right now. Whoa, Bambi's out there. Yes, sirree. Look at them scramble now.
That's a pretty good one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, wondering if you saw what was on Fox tonight.
Yeah, that Magic Show Part 2. Hey, I read in the newspaper.
They're replaying number one, too.
Yeah, I read in the newspaper that they've outed that guy, whoever he is.
The great Valentino.
The guy with that bad mask. Oh. Well, good for him.
Didn't someone say that they thought that was a girl? They saw something underneath the shirt?
Oh, yeah. Somebody called us when that last show was on. That's a good show. And being a magician myself, I'm all for that show.
And, you know, if they saw something, it could be. Those breasts could be an illusion.
Magicians are so full of crap. I think it's good that they're outed like this. I think everybody likes magicians fine, as long as they don't come off with this crap like they're really doing something special.
That's right.
You know what I mean? If a guy comes out and he says, hey, I got some good tricks.
It's a trick. It's an illusion.
Look at this. Boom. It's vanished. Everybody goes, yeah, very nice. You get a prick like David Copperfield coming out, wanting to do. He's out there doing yoga while really all he's trying to do is get you to look at the ceiling,
right.
So you won't see that they're wheeling in a box behind him.
Copperfield on the zoo.
Copperphilia. That's what I think of when I think of David Copperfield.
And, you know, I saw that Claudia Schiffer doing a commercial the other day. She, you know, I know that she's supposed to be supermodel, but Claudia Schiffer, of all the supermodels, she's got that overbite. That big. She does the thing where she can't talk through her teeth. You should try the silky. The silky feeling of this new lotion that I'm pitching to you. David, are we going to the Academy Awards?
Have you seen David Copperfield's mom? Yeah. His mom doing commercials now, too? Mm-hmm. I never realized that my boy David would grow up to be the most famous homo magician in the world. Claudia Schiffer is a total beard.
Hello there. Yes, sir. I'm David's beard. Good to see you, Mama.
But it's good. It's good to show how you do those tricks, because magicians been getting away with that for a long time.
That's a scary mask that guy wears, or that girl wears.
Whatever. Yeah, it's kind of a... Well, he calls himself the Phantom, doesn't he, when he's doing the magic on that show?
I don't know, but he frightens me.
It's good. I like it. It pisses magicians off.
Wasn't it like a super high-rated special, too, the last time they...
The highest-rated show in the history of Fox television.
And you loved it. You said the last one was great, so this one should be good, too.
They show everything. They show absolutely everything. And I know that magicians are so mad. You know what we should do? We should get a copy of one of those magicians' magazines.
Right.
One of those, like, just for guys who are actually practicing magicians.
Right.
Because as ridiculous as those letters to the cigar magazine were,
right,
you'll find even more from magicians who are mad.
I'll tell you right now, that's the worst thing that anyone could do. He's destroying our livelihood.
Do you remember when I brought some tricks in a couple of years ago and did them, and then showed you how to do them? And some guy wrote a letter to one of these magic magazines just absolutely crucifying me for letting go of this elusive secret.
We all liked it here on the show. We especially liked that you showed up in a tuxedo and top hat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's tonight. We'll watch that. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, all right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Many times, Carl's simply thought starters on the show.
Yes, yes, and then we just go on from there and think wonderful thoughts like the amazing Blackstone.
Hello, Don, my show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
You're off base, man. The professional magicians don't give a damn about this guy. The tricks they're showing are a bunch of nothing. Doesn't affect my income.
Are you a magician?
Yes, I am.
And you make a living performing magic?
In Vegas. I've been doing it for the last 5 years.
Oh, come on. Wouldn't you agree that there's a fraternity of magicians that's like an old boys club that absolutely, their panties are in a royal wad when anybody shows how to do a trick?
Used to be. You're talking about the Magic Castle back in the heyday, the 60s, ending up in the 70s. These guys died off and... The thing of any kind of real ethical code died with them.
Now, do you know this guy?
We're no better than a doctor.
Do you know this guy Valentino? Because he's supposed to perform in Vegas.
Well, he allegedly, I know Valentino, he allegedly is the magician, and he ended up losing his contract at the Stratosphere when he came back. There was going to be a big picket line. And
what's your best trick?
Huh?
What's your biggest trick?
My best is that I do fire. And I'm a horizontal fire eater. And if you're not a fire,
go. Okay, I'll tell you something.
Cool. See, that's cool whether you know it's a trick or not.
You're not a magician. You're a freak.
Oh, hold on. I do magic with it. But I do a one-handed flaming rose production. Now, there's another guy who does the rose production out here who does with two hands.
What is a flaming rose production?
I take a piece of flash paper. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, that's paper, and you rub it together and go, like it's blown up.
You have to ignite it. But it burns super fast. And I make a rose out of it, and I float it around. And then I catch it in my hand. Actually, it floats up to my nose. And then as I bring it down, I light it, and in a flash, it turns into a real rose.
Ooh. Now, would you be pissed?
The best.
Hold on.
You guys are my radio guys.
Thank you. But let's say you're performing at whatever hotel you're at, and there's a guy out in the lobby, and he's showing everybody exactly how to do your tricks. So there's a guy out on the street.
I wouldn't do those tricks. See, that's the whole thing. You know, you can't do the garbage, okay, and be a professional. Now, it does. This thing hurts the little guys that are making a buck on the same old tricks that nobody really cares about anyway, but it fills their contract obligations.
Do you have a Van Dyke?
No. I'm a fire eater. I have no facial hair.
Oh, no facial hair. Right.
What horizontal fire. Also, I eat a foot of fire. If you guys would ever have a Las Vegas style show out here, I would come and do fire eating for you guys.
All right. Well, thank you.
I like this guy. Well, you want to give yourself a plug? Are you performing currently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you at?
It's Stanley J. Inferno, and anybody can. Well, no, you know what? I just thought about it.
I don't want to give any numbers out because I know the Don and Mike audience.
Well, what's the hotel you're at?
I'm not at a hotel. I work convention.
Oh, you work convention?
Yeah,
oh.
I do like McDonald's is one of my gigs. Pepsi. I also do some Coca-Cola.
Okay, and so you are claiming that today's modern magician is not so uptight. And maybe I'll buy that, but I would like to just say that also I consider you to be not so much a total magician, at least part freak.
I would show you magic that would make you bleed. I spin metal in
wow.
front of you. Okay?
You would what? You would do what?
I take forks and I shake them in your face, and it bends. It just melts right in front of you.
Oh, come on, Uri Geller. Listen, that's another big...
That's right. And
listen, I'll tell you what happened with Uri Geller on this show.
It's a trick.
We got...
The guy wouldn't do nothing.
Right.
You guys...
You heard that one.
Burn him.
Did you like what we did with Uri?
It's real.
What?
It's not, he thinks it's real. It's not. It's a trick.
So when you're doing that, when you wave that, when do you bend the spoon, or when do you slip another spoon in front of someone's face? How do you do that trick?
The bending of a fork?
Yeah.
I'll bend the way I'll bend the prong is I'll pre-bend it, and then as I start to shake it in front of your face, I'll reveal it. But it's already bent.
I like this guy.
All right. Right. How's that?
Cool. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Hey, you guys are the best.
Thanks.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's cool.
All right.
That's a new perspective from a magician.
Yeah. I bet he's more laid back than your average magician.
Sure. You know what? Now that we're hunting in Vegas, it's cool, too, because we get showbiz performers.
All right, we got to do a break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Simmer down and relax. I'm sure that we won't have to have another little talk like this again. Am I correct in assuming this?
Well, without question, you absolutely... yes, we'll never have to correct our talk. We won't ever speak. That is, we'll never have to talk again. We just never will discuss talking. We shouldn't really converse about speaking.
Professor, our discussion has come to an end.
As Maury's wife, Earth, Wind, and Fire at 626 WABC with a great summer of music. Hope you're enjoying the summer weather we've got. Got Donna Summer. She's got all that hot stuff. Boy, she gets down and dirty on this thing. Hey, Donna, it's chow time. What you got for dinner tonight, woman?
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Will Charo be on the new Love Boat?
Oh, man.
She should. If they were smart, they'd put her on.
Yeah.
And Gene Rayburn?
Was Gene Rayburn ever a guest?
I think Gene Rayburn was
on the Love Boat.
Yes.
He was one of my favorites.
Yeah. And somebody was his for Convy.
See, the thing is, I don't think we have that many, like, B-League stars.
Oh, yes, there are.
Really?
Let's start to name them.
This is good. This is a good exercise.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Give me a second. Hello.
Hey, Don, you know, your wife worships the ground you walk on, and you know it. I would give anything to have a wife like Frieda. I know
listen.
You guys have the gripes, but who...
I'll tell you something.
She supports you better than any wife I've ever heard.
And my wife has been with me for 17, we've been married 17, together almost 18 years. We've been through every kind of crap together we can be through, so, you know. She's with me, like it or not. But boy, oh boy, sometimes she's a pain in the ass.
She's good to you. You're good to her and all those guys out there. Come on to sunny California. I'll kick all your ass.
There you go. Thank you for the support, sir.
All right, listen, who cares? Thank you, though. I'm trying to think about... Ah, here's a perfect one.
Okay, good.
Sally Struthers.
Sally Struthers, yeah, okay.
Or do you mean that they have to be more recent? Because if that's...
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you go back a ways, you can still... You can fill that Love Boat.
I'll give you another one. Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
From Growing Pains. We had just been discussing him yesterday.
Yeah. But Kirk Cameron, I don't put him in the league of Burt Convy.
But he's a young has-been.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron has
30 more years of underachieving in front of him now.
Yeah.
30 more years of looking in the rearview mirror to say, growing pains. That was the highlight of my life. Yeah.
You know what I think it is, though? I think careers, unfortunately, are better managed nowadays, where you don't get the people that are just simply lingering like they used to, like the Bert Conley's.
Mike, another one.
Okay.
Cliff from Cheers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Never on the old Love Boat. Perfect. That's and Norm from Cheers. You can go right down the line.
And you'd have to package those two together.
Sure. And even, you know, now that she's not happening anymore, Rhea Perlman could come on the Love Boat. She could be on the Love Boat.
But who would you find to be Rhea Perlman's love interest besides Danny DeVito? Have you noticed in every movie that Rhea Perlman's in her TV show, whenever she's supposed to have a boyfriend, unless he's dead, like the guy on Cheers was, the only guy that they can find to play the role is Danny DeVito.
The perfect match.
Right, it's because all the other actors go, listen, I can get into any role.
Man, that's a good one. You know, right there, you know, the cast of Cheers, right away, lots of has-beens that could be on the new Love Boat.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, I got a B-grade celebrity for the new Love Boat.
A current B-grade, please.
Oh, current?
Yeah, it's got to be kind of, you know, in that, they wouldn't have been on the old Love Boat.
And in about 2 months, it could be Jerry Seinfeld.
No,
See, you don't get it. That's always going to be beneath Jerry Seinfeld. He's a real star.
Absolutely.
We're talking about somebody like, who is
Cosby needs the work.
Cosby's son.
Malcolm Jamal Warren.
Yeah. Theo.
Yeah,
Theo.
There you go.
There's another perfect has-been. See, you wouldn't see Bill Cosby on that show, because Bill Cosby, you know, like him or not, he's a real star.
Sure.
You wouldn't see his real-life son on it either.
Now, from Seinfeld, you might see Putty.
Putty could be on there.
10 years from now, but right now Putty's still too relevant, still too hot.
Just now joining the B-list, maybe Cybill Shepherd, because her career appears to be over.
I still think Cybill Shepherd would not go in that direction.
She's not over the edge yet.
Yeah, very close, though.
That old fart Bob Newhart, though, he's prime Love Boat material.
Tom Poston, of course, he could be on the old and the new Love Boat.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello?
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hello?
Yeah, Marky Post.
Marky Post, yeah. She could play the, I was going to say a young, but she's not young anymore.
Well, Angie Dickinson can be her mother, and they can go together.
A woman who used to be young. That's what she could do.
Angie Dickinson could still go on the Love Boat. I stand corrected. I truly do.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I got one for you. James Brolin.
James Brolin.
Except, you know, he wouldn't, right, she... I called him he because he's like the wife in that marriage.
Mrs. Streisand wouldn't go on.
Mr. Streisand wouldn't let him do that.
How about Ben Stiller there? Or Jerry Stiller's dad?
No. Again, you got to think Jerry Stiller's dad is really kind of happening. You mean Ben Stiller's dad, Jerry Stiller?
He's doing Touched by an Angel.
I'm trying to figure out the criteria here, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Touched by an Angel, sad to say, is considered good work.
And it's the surrounding characters on successful programs that aren't popular anymore.
I'll give you one. Damn it, I can't remember his name. On the show that had... the show's called Empty Nest. Who's the guy? He was Bert on Soap.
Richard Mulligan.
The guy that used to make himself
invisible all the
time.
The guy, Richard Mulligan.
Right.
Right? There you go.
Except even maybe he's a little bit too past. Too past. Hello?
Hey, hello?
Hello?
Dynamite.
Right, hi.
Radio God.
Thank you. Hello?
It's your man, Corey Feldman.
just too... You know, too much of a waste case.
Corey Feldman was never popular enough.
Right.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
There's a guy whose name I can't remember. He was the second fiddle to rappers every time he does a show. Fresh Prince, he was like his cousin. And now he does a show with...
You mean DJ Jazzy Jeff?
No, I can't think of the actor.
No, but you know who would be great? The guy that was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that played the...
That played the nerd type?
The nerd guy. The rich... Yeah, he'd be perfect.
Who's he, Rob?
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Thank you.
He's got the name. That's perfect.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, how about anyone from the cast of MASH?
Oh, not unless they were doing Titanic. No, everybody from the cast of MASH is way past it now.
Yeah, it's just they're too out of
Except,
there.
Except, you know, maybe you'd get like Radar.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you'd give Radar a walk-on.
Clinger,
you know,
together.
Because I'm sure by now... You know, his brain is fried to mush, and he probably, they'd go, okay, Mr. Berghoff, here's your line. Welcome aboard. And he stands there and goes, Big Kmart. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. And he'd be making Gary Berghoff would be making his last cruise.
Welcome aboard.
Cut. Great, Gary. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us on the show.
And then they would get someone in to sink it. They'd say, welcome aboard, like they used to do in the Hercules movies.
We are sinking now, Mr. Berghoff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, Richard Mull.
You mean bull?
Bull, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You like sing or something.
Harry Anderson, actually, would be one of the stars that could actually do a perfect job.
Damn it, I hate Harry Anderson.
Wouldn't he fit the bill, though? He'd be one of the guys that was a star of the show, but he's not a big enough star.
I hate Harry Anderson. The Love Boat is too good for Harry Anderson. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
How about Alan Thicke?
Yeah, you know, you could do a whole thing with all of the Growing Pains cast.
John Tesh? Is John Tesh, even though he is not happening, he is happening enough with his music, right?
That's where they would think they're cool, like Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get someone who's pseudo-famous like John Tesh.
John Tesh.
John Tesh. Hello, Dynamite. You're Teshy.
I'm the Love Boat.
Hello.
Hi, Dynamite.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Great.
Three letters.
What?
Anyone on the UPN.
All right, thank you. This is Brandon Tartikoff calling us from the grave today. Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks so much for sharing that.
There he is. Television genius, Brandon Tartikoff.
Perhaps it was a good idea when it was inside of your head. It's just when it came out that it sounded awful.
Hello, Donna Mike. Last call on this. We got chance. Rob, we've never heard your candy tape, and I promise we're going to do it now. Hello.
Radio gods, I have one last one for you.
Yeah.
Gary Coleman.
I'd say yes, except Gary Coleman has already almost elevated himself. He's so bad by doing commercials that he parodies the fact that he's nobody.
Right.
He elevates himself above, for instance, well, they've all done it on that show. Willis has done that.
Dixie Carter.
Too old, though, Mike.
But she, you know, recent success.
Annie Potts would be the better, would be your better designing woman. Or Delta Burke.
Delta Burke, yes.
I saw an article with Delta Burke that she's totally given up on her diet now.
Oh, really? Totally letting herself go.
And now the way she's making money now is that she has a line of clothing for horrendously obese women.
Gunny from Major Dad also. Gunny from Major Dad, you know, the homely lady that's going on the cruise to find love? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Hello,
baby.
Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah.
One more celebrity for you.
Yes, sir.
Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio, if you could get him to do it.
If you could get him, he'd be perfect for it.
He definitely is has-been material, and he's a real relevant has-been.
Arsenio,
yes,
I don't love
but him. I imagine Arsenio's probably still got a big pile of money that he's sitting on. They probably they call him up. You don't think so, Rob? You think he spent it all? Arsenio spent all his money?
He just had a failed sitcom, and he wouldn't have come back to a failed sitcom if he had money.
That was ego talking, though.
Yeah.
The reason he took the sitcom.
I think he made a lot of money when he was doing that show, even though the show wasn't very successful.
Sure, his agent calls. This is Arsenio, I got you a deal on the Love Boat. F you, man. I am Arsenio. Oh.
Not going on the Love Boat.
Hello, Dynamite. Last call. Really? Hello?
Okay. I have the perfect female triumvirate. Judith Light, Pam Dorfer, and Donna Pascal.
Man.
Gotta go, bye.
Bye-bye. That would be the lady with the coffee cake hair from Who's the Boss.
Right.
Mindy, Mork and Mindy.
Right.
And Donna Pascal, TV's Angie.
And all three of them going on the singles cruise together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now that it is the 90s, you could actually have a gay cruise.
And then you'd have to have Jim J. Bullock. But how many other homos? Oh, you could get, George Michael.
Sure.
Who really is the perfect, most relevant has been of all.
You get, you know, and now you get the peripheral characters on successful shows if it's the gay theme. You get that guy that plays Bulldog on Frasier. You know, he's out of the closet. I'm sure he'd do it just to support the cause.
And even better, you get Andrew Ridgely, and you get him to be in the role of the Love Boat, where he plays like the guy that carries George Michael's bags to his room.
Candace Gingrich, Chastity Bono. You just load the, with gay activists, you load the boat up. It'd be fantastic.
And you could still get off with your obligatory Richard Simmons with a bunch of fat people on a cruise, right? Richard Simmons, still not happening, even all these years later.
Yeah, and the ultimate whore. I mean, he will go on anything to sell his products.
And ridiculous. That's like if I got out here and wore a pair of tight shorts and a basketball shirt, and I said, hey.
And oiled your body, too, the way he does.
And said, hey, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Be like me when you know Richard Simmons is a big, fat pig.
And then you crate in a couple of 600-pound women to cry, and then he starts crying.
I read an article about Richard Simmons when we were, I guess, away this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I read all of this stuff at my mother-in-law's house, where she has all the Juicy magazines.
Right. Oh.
The article said Richard Simmons, when he was on General Hospital, because he was so conscious about his weight, he did that thing where he would put his finger down his throat to make himself puke.
Really?
And he would go 5 days in a row without eating to make sure that he was nice and trim for his scenes on GH.
Oh, I want to be on General Hospital.
Hello, this is Richard Simmons. Let me clear through these lines. Oh, that's all people are calling with.
Well, you know, it's an interesting concept of filling the love boat with the... I like the gay cruise. I like the fat cruise.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, boys. How about Ed O'Neill?
Oh, Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Again, perfect. you could do the whole Bundy clan.
Yeah, bring them all.
Yeah, you do Mrs. Bundy and you do Bud Bundy.
David Faustino.
That might make a good
noted
show.
A-hole.
Oh, what a jerk that guy was.
Oh, he's one of the biggest jerks we ever had on the air.
Hey, you know who else you could have? The guy that was our friend for a short time from the Wonder Years.
Jason Hervey.
Yeah, Butthead.
He could be there.
And I bet he looks all weird grown up and stuff.
Well, his body hasn't grown at all, and his head is just taking on mythic proportions.
Don Mike Show.
Talking about the ultimate whore, I can guarantee you that Larry King will be on there playing himself.
Yeah, even as much as I hate to say it, Larry too relevant right now with his CNN show.
Yeah,
you know?
Besides, Larry, couldn't you picture Larry King saying, why should I do this? I'm in Air Force One.
Right, exactly.
I'm in Network. I'm in Cocoon. All these stupid movies that they let Larry King be in.
You get him, though, if you give his wife a role. If you let them play a couple, then he is a lock. He would do it in a minute.
Yep. Or you tell them Billy Crystal's going to be on the show. Larry King's in love with Billy Crystal. Yeah. And you know what? Billy Crystal, listen to me now. Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Maybe next season you hook him up with a love boat. That's how fast his star is falling.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. I've got three names for you.
Okay.
Joyce DeWitt.
Nah, too old.
Gil Gerard.
Yeah, Gil Gerard could
come on.
Just enough name recognition where he'd go back on the love boat.
That's a bit part.
Yep.
Okay, the best one, Gabe Kaplan.
Mr. Cotter.
Yes.
So long, though. It's been so long. He's so far removed. Yeah. He may be one of those guys that was on the original
love boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll like this one. Jerry Van Dyke.
And he'd do it, too. Jerry Van Dyke.
I must admit, as much as I passionately love Jerry Van Dyke, I will confirm, yes, he would do it.
You won't see Dick doing that. No Dick on Love Boat. I think we all know that.
That's because he's too busy cheating on his woman. There you go. That's the only fodder I have against Dick right now. Wasn't there a story about Dick Van Dyke?
He lives with his mistress, miles and miles away from his wife, who lives back in Los Angeles.
And his wife's a bitch.
Look at that. Again.
Everybody knows that. You can't blame Dick Van Dyke.
Mr. Gerard. Geronimo, you've never met his wife.
I don't care. Any woman would be lucky to be married to the great Dick Van Dyke.
And Jerry Van Dyke, you know, just going around the country starting up soda fountains.
Yeah.
Happening.
Someday we'll have both those guys in here live in the studio.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I know the perfect name.
Yeah.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Definitely a has-been.
All right. Hickory dickory dock.
You'd have to do with the episode that has him and Bob Goldthwait.
Right, yeah. All the comedians. Yeah, they'd be like the old has-been comedians.
All the sucky guys from Saturday Night Live.
George Marshall.
How about the copier guy?
Right.
Or is he still on a show now? Rob Schneider?
No, I don't
Men
so.
Behaving Badly.
Yeah, that's gone.
That's gone.
So he's gone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's your... You could base a whole episode around Howie Mandel.
John Lovitz.
You just have Howie Mandel, you know, blowing up that surgical glove.
John Lovitz, another good one. Very relevant. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got two sluts. I'll do anything for money.
Who's that?
Ed McMahon and MC Hammer.
Well, I think Ed might be... Actually, you know what? I was going to say Ed would turn it down, but Ed McMahon has never turned anything down.
And you'd have to get Ed by giving him a real, like, aristocratic role, like have him be the owner of the shipping line, you know? And then he'd say, yeah, I'll do it. Okay.
Okay, I got the last one. Two guys. Both Gallagher's. Not only Gallagher, but his twin brother who has to tour the country because there's such a need for Gallagher.
And imagine the writers and the field day they have with the twin scenarios. You know, that's always big in Hollywood. Who's dating who?
We got a break. We will be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.